Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OPNUD. For Spanish, press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by.
If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, and ship you to Mongolia till you die. In the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like healthcare, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
This has been a public service message sponsored by OPNUT, dedicated to the collapse of the American way of life. Yeah.
Well, ISIS is 100%. We have great military. We have phenomenal military. Remember General Raisin Kane? Did anybody ever hear that story? General Kane? Anybody know General Kane? You know, not the television generals. They're not the good ones. They're terrible. But the generals that really fight, General Raisin Kane, I went to Iraq, and I wanted to get rid of ISIS, and I couldn't understand because a couple of our television generals said it was going to take anywhere from 2 to 3 years. I said, you mean we have the most powerful military in the world, and I was rebuilding it at a level that they've never seen before. And why would it take 3 years to do this? This should go quickly. They said, sir, it'll take 3 years. I said, I don't think so. That was General Mattis. He said, it will take 3 years. And I said, I don't think so. We're spending all this time. So I went to Iraq with the First Lady, and I said, First Lady, I think these guys know how to fight. We landed. But before we landed, I don't know, we're flying in Air Force One, and we're about an hour out. We're over the desert, and they said, sir, could you please close your shades? I said, I'm president. You should close them, but I'll do it. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of shades in there. You know, you'll be. And then they said, sir, we're going to be turning off the lights in the plane. I said, what do you mean? It's going to be dark in the plane. You won't be able to see at all. We won't have any light. I say, that's not good. Why are you doing that? Because we're flying into Iraq. Now, we've been there for 20 years. We can't even land a presidential plane there, right? We're flying into Iraq. It's dark. And I love these pilots. These are the best pilots in the world. You know, when you fly Air Force One, you got to be like seriously good. If you're looking for a pilot and you're willing to pay a ridiculously high price, go get the guys flying Air Force One. They take, that's like a pyramid, right? Like the golfers, you know, you get the guys, these guys are good. So I go up and I want to watch, if I see on that plane, you actually go up. You have to go up a floor. And I want to watch, the landing. Nice. So I go up and I sit down, two handsome people, and the place is loaded with these fantastic, like movie star. Everyone's a movie star.
Yeah.
And they say, how are you, sir?
All right. That's President, former President Donald Trump in Alaska, believe it or not. Yes, he's in Alaska. I can't remember the last time a candidate or anything else has been to Alaska. Let me get Joe on.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
All right. When was that song made? You know, your intro.
Come to the USA by Ray Stevens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, 12, 15, or what?
Yeah, I don't know how long ago that was.
Because it sure is pertinent to today, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And
everything on there. And he's talking about welcoming, you know, to the collapse of the USA. How do you like Biden's new announcement? He wants to get rid of the Supreme Court totally.
I know. Huh? Oh, man. They're destroying. They are destroying the USA. I mean, we're selling everything to China now.
China, Saudi Arabia owned us. England owned some property. The Dutch owned some property. You know, we should never sell. Huh?
Not like China. China, we're selling oil to China.
Yeah, and the stock market owned a lot too. But yeah, China's got everything. You're right.
Yeah.
It's got its toes, its bazookas, its nose, its tentacles into everything. And it controls 95% of the computer chips. Forget about the debt we owe them. We owe them, what, $3 to $5 trillion?
Mm-hmm.
If they just wanted to say, nah, we're not going to ship any more computer chips to you assholes. And it serves you right, America, for letting us have the control of the computer chips anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, we got all these trucks and cars waiting for all these chips because something happened at the factory. And I guess they got it fixed now, but they were putting trucks everywhere. Everywhere there was a vacant lot, there was a load of trucks, General Motors trucks, right there.
Fucking real. And then the union, you talk about, you know, on your other show, when you talk about the union, you know, it's owned by the mob. So what do you expect? Nobody's going to tell me that the mob doesn't have control of the major unions in the United States.
Oh, well, Cinnamon looked up what year that song came out, and it was June 2010.
12 years ago.
Yeah.
Jesus. Before all this happened. During Obama's last year.
There
Thanks,
you go.
Ben.
Yeah.
I'm fucking real. This is not America. This is the land of the impending abyss.
Exactly.
The land of collapse. The land of almost no return. I swear, boy.
We're close. I mean, here we are with $5 and $6 and $7 some places, gas, and we're selling oil out of our reserve to China.
Mm-hmm.
1 million barrels of oil to China.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the only country we're selling oil to, folks, but China, I mean, our enemy, and you can believe it or not, the NBA kisses China's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Every freaking company, big corporation in this country kisses China's ass. And good Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
No, you're right. I'm saying yep, because they do. Any company that has China as a major stakeholder or a major influence, you know, they don't want to say, not now there, Confucius. Maybe tomorrow, but not now. No. Yes. Yes, Obasan or whatever they say.
Yeah.
Asshole. Yeah.
Asshole, you asshole.
Yeah, right. Asshole, me American, me kiss your ass. Your ass tastes like sushi. I like sushi. Ooh,
yeah.
Even
you remember? You remember when they built that island?
They finished it? I thought they were out by the China Sea.
Oh, they're landing planes on it, Joe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're building another one, though. You might be thinking of the other one they're building. And Obama said, that's fine. Let them go ahead and build
it. Well, yeah. Well, talk about Obama and his predecessor. I remember reading in Reader's Digest before I got started in politics how it was reported that Bill Clinton sold the electronic and military blueprints and information to China.
China, yes. I've known that for a long time. I read that years ago.
Yeah.
And, he sold all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, Americans. Why can't you vote for, at least make the election close like it was for Trump? With the other elections that were stolen, I forgot to look up the circumstances around Michael Moore's running that potted plant called Fern, and either Fern won or it came in second place or something like that. Years ago, when Michael Moore had a TV show on cable, so he wanted to show the deficiency of the voting system. So he ran a candidate. It was a potted plant, and he called it Fern. And he ran it, and it came in either it won or it came in close.
Jesus. Well, I know they ran a dog somewhere, and the dog won.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the southern state. Yeah, they ran a dog. I remember that. That was about 10 years ago. Let me get Cinnamon on. Cinnamon, you're on.
Hey, Cinnamon.
Hello, guys.
How you doing? You must have something to
all
say
right.
for you to come on this early.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it's come out that the board that Biden's brokerage firm, the
Biden.
Chinese company that they were.
You mean
yeah,
Hunter.
Hunter
yeah.
Biden.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden brokerage firm
right.
that had a large stake in that Chinese company.
Yeah.
Oh, Burisma?
That's who got, that's, yeah.
No,
nope.
That not Burisma is Ukraine.
Is in Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. The one is in China is
uh-huh.
the one that got the oil.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that. You're right, Simon. Thank you.
Man.
Yeah.
These little details, I wonder if Americans really care. You know, I ought to play a clip. Yeah, remember one time when I told you guys that I was, after Biden stole the election, I was on the phone with somebody here in BTR, and I told them that they took the ballots and they shoved the ballots two, three, or more times in the ballot machine in
uh-huh.
order to, you know, increase the voting count for Biden. And it didn't faze her at all. I got to play that. I should play that clip because I downloaded the show because I couldn't believe what she said. You know, it was, man. Did you see the Mark Dice, not Mark Dice, the other man in the street interview on the video where they asked millennials what continent are we on and name two countries in North America?
No, I hadn't seen that.
Oh, you got to watch that. That is so pathetically stupid.
Mm. Oh, gosh. I know the head of our FBI, Ray, he's not going to investigate China spies in the United States. He's called that off now. So we're not going to even look for all these spies that are in our colleges and everything else. But... yeah, Ray's not going to do anything about it.
And they're practically announcing that. I mean, they have special Chinese names for certain organizations in the colleges that people suspect are spies for China. It's kind of easy to look into it.
Yeah. We give them free education, and they take all that crap back to China, but they They steal everything. They steal property rights. I'm talking about movies.
Yeah.
And General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. All these, they just steal them, and we do nothing about it. We know they're doing it, but
you
we're
know
not.
What? We shouldn't say we, because that implies us. We,
yeah.
as the American people, we did our job by voting for, well, I can't say completely. We thought we did our job by voting for people we believed would represent us in our best interest. And time again, they don't. And, I'm not even going to say we for me, because I've never done that. When I voted for a person, that person seemed to have turned out to be decent anyway, and I have only voted a few times in the last 20 years. So I'm like George Carlin, who says, "I don't vote, folks."
Yeah,
I don't vote.
Yeah, he said, "You can't blame me." Yeah,
that's right. That's right. When you wake up in the morning and your new president or your new politician is in there, don't blame me. You know why? Because I didn't put him in there. You did.
That's right. That's right. Did you see the tape of Ilhan Omar when she they had a concert for Somali singers and everything, and she came on stage and they booed the hell out of her.
I read the headline. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see the video. I should see the video.
Well, yeah, let me play a little bit of it.
Don't do this.
Why are they cheering? Okay. And the singer is trying to get them to be quiet.
Oh, that's why they're cheering.
Finally do shut up for a minute.
Where are you, mate? Lady.
Every time she puts the microphone to her mouth, she starts doing. Yeah, it's pretty good take.
I saw the movie that you guys remember, because I forgot all about it from years ago. It was called Man of the Year with Robin Williams. He ran for president. If you remember,
I never seen it, but I know the movie, yeah.
Yeah. He ran for president, and he and the other, there's one candidate who's running for president against him. This could have been a precursor for Trump. The guy looks just like Trump.
Oh, I have to watch
that. And he's running for re-election. He has the same hairstyle. He looks like him. They don't have him speaking much, but that's different. But Robin Williams' role is pretty much that of Trump, except for the fact Trump was an acerbic bastard, you know, very sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams was sarcastic, but he was funny.
Oh.
He was funny. But the reason why I mentioned the movie is because all the issues that were mentioned back in 1996 are the same issues that everybody talks about today. It's like we never learned.
No, we didn't learn. But there's, you know, they're trying to do something, and you know it's that one world government. You know, China and Russia is not going to go to that. They're not going to belong to that crap.
Yes, they will.
I don't think they will. I don't know. They might, but I don't think so.
You know why I say so? Because both of them have a central bank. The central banks are owned by the Rothschilds. And you do not have a separate entity called the central bank in your country if it's run by other people than you, especially if you're a dictatorship. And Russia, in effect, is a dictatorship, and China is a dictatorship.
Right.
And they still have central banks. And I don't think they run it.
You got a point. You got a good point there. I never thought about central banks. You're right. They probably
do. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, Donnie, if you had, if you were a big-time mobster and you owned about I don't know, 100 square miles of neighborhood, and you were making $100 million a year, right?
Uh-huh.
And you had a bookie in that neighborhood that was making $20 million a year. Are you going to let that bookie operate? Or are you going to say, hey, you belong to me?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And I think that the Rothschilds are the New World Order, outside of the aliens, of
yeah.
that I believe exist now. So I think they will. Just because they fight amongst each other doesn't mean that they're not competing for the same prize. They're not enemies, you know?
Yeah, I know Russia and China is hooked up together.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they're getting real close, which is real dangerous for us. But
I think they do that. I think they're doing that because the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much why Nixon was the first president to go to China. And I think that was what he said, too, after he got thrown out and later on, after people got worse through pissed off at, being pissed off at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did all these interviews, and he said, yeah, that's the reason. You got to keep your enemies close.
Mm-hmm.
And China was our enemy, and we just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, right. Because Russia was the big bugaboo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always been Russia. God, since I was a kid, we had bomb show. You know, we had to go out in the hall when I was in elementary school. I think it was 3 or 4 times a year during the year, and go in the hallway and put your head between your legs.
And
we did that till I was in the 7th grade, and I guess the bomb scare was over. Damn, get the 7th grade, they don't care about you. But kindergarten through 6th grade, boy, they love you.
Man, I remember... the day that the deadline came, either Khrushchev took out the missiles from Cuba,
mm-hmm.
or Kennedy was going to launch the first strike.
Yeah.
That was some day.
And there was a ship, Russian ship coming full bore, and if they crossed a certain point in the ocean, we were going to fire a And all of a sudden, they get up to that line, and they turned around.
Khrushchev was smart.
Yeah.
He also, we made a deal with Khrushchev that if you take your missiles out of Cuba, we'll take our missiles out of Turkey.
Which I think was
a good deal.
Yeah. But the United States kept that quiet. Nobody knew at the time.
Right.
Yeah, so Kennedy kept that a big secret for a while.
Yeah, I know, because if it came out like we negotiated with the Russians, fuck it, man. We would go, no negotiation. So the first missile, let it out. Blow it up.
Donnelly, or O'Connor, I can't remember which, O'Donnell, rather. I think it was O'Donnell. He was a Kennedy insider, good friend of John F. Kennedy and the family, and he worked for, President Kennedy in the White House. He said that nobody knew, but there was a secret communications between Kennedy and Khrushchev. And after everything was done, this Cuba deal, they were really getting close. They were really getting close to stopping. And then Kennedy got killed and Khrushchev got thrown out of office. They must have found out in Russia that we got a guy who wants peace. We don't want that.
That's right. You know, whatever. Forget about what the politicians say. We want peace. We're not for war. War makes them rich, and they think that the civilians will die and they'll survive.
That's right. No, you're right about that. Now, this is going to be hard for people to take, but, on Hunter Biden's computer, his laptop, he lashed out at the First Lady Jill Biden, and this was 2018 text message to his late brother's widow and romantic, you know, they were humping together. He called her a selfish, silly, entitled cunt. Yeah, go fuck yourself, Hunter said in a mockery of Dr. Jill Biden's acclaimed teaching prowess. And this is from the Sun, reported this, and they call it laptop from hell. I supported my GM family, whatever that is. I don't know what GM
God
family.
Damn.
Well, I thought it was GM. I don't know what the hell it was.
G,
maybe
D, then star, asterisk, asterisk.
No, just GM.
That's what he put in his text. It means goddamn, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, could be. Let's go with that. My goddamn family, including some of the costs you should have used your salary to pay for the last 24 years. He's pissed off at her because she kept her salary and didn't help the family. Yeah. Oh, my. And he continued, she's a grammar teacher, and she never finished school. She did not graduate from the Ivy League college. I don't know which college.
Really? I thought he was supposed to be a lawyer.
A doctor. No, her.
Oh,
Jill.
Her. Oh.
Yeah,
oh, her.
Jill, you know, the doctor, Jill Biden, right?
Yeah, Dr. Jill, yeah.
Yeah, she
with
never
graduated.
And you do know the drunkest I've ever been is still smarter than you could ever even comprehend. And you're a slut grammar teacher.
Wouldn't survive
one class in an Ivy League graduate program. Ooh.
I heard that for her thesis, when people reviewed her thesis, they said she wrote poorly, made a few spelling mistakes. And that's for your thesis? Uh-uh. No, you got to go over that sucker 2 to 3 times before you submit it.
God. And he also said, so go fuck yourself. Jill, let's all agree. I don't like you any more than you like me. Wow. There you go.
But still, I mean, he must have been drunk doing that because that's still Joe's wife.
I know, but he's pissed off that all the years she was teaching school, she kept all her money, didn't try to help the family out. And, you know, it came out that he has to take care of all the bills, right?
Hunter.
All the money went through his businesses. And so he paid for everything, the house, the cars, with security. They needed
security. So that's why he's pissed off. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wrote his daughter. And he wrote his daughter a text message email from his computer and said that at least I don't treat you like what he called his dad, the big guy treats me. And he went on to say that, you know, he pays for everything. They had an office together, and he paid for all that. And so he's pissed off about that.
I don't blame him, even for a fucking con man. I don't blame him.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know.
Because
Jill,
if he's paying for everything, then Jill, if she's making a salary, she's married to the big guy. She ought to contribute to whatever her husband's doing, not the son. But that shows the relationship that they have. They don't have a good relationship, Hunter and Joe. It's very, very schizo.
Yeah, it's all about money. It's all about money.
Yep.
And I guess he's pissed off. Hunter would be a little mad. Hold on, I got a lot of phone calls. Let me get them on here. Oh, Pianchi, Gene. Spinning.
Damn, I'm about to have a heat stroke.
Hi, Pianchi.
Hey.
Hi.
Holy.
How are you?
Gene, you too?
Oh, me too.
Yeah, Gene like to have heat stroke. They'd leave us out in the weather.
I know, right? I actually feel kind of cool here now.
Nobody know what they're talking about.
And
hey, Joe, you missed a thesis? You're talking about thesis. My son has been writing his thesis for his doctorate, and he's actually got what they call a mentor that he runs it by before he will submit it. So not only did Joe write it and should have read it several times, but whoever her mentor was should have caught a lot of those things and had her correct them before she submitted it.
Yeah. If she had a mentor, she doesn't have a real doctorate. She has an ed.u, something like that. Not even a doctorate of education.
ed.e is what it is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
in any case, when you go to college, when you're working for somebody in business, you've got, if it's an important paper, you got to go over it 2 to 3 times.
Absolutely. At least 3, if not 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree.
I think you keep going over it if it takes 10 times until you don't find
Absolutely.
Any mistakes.
Mistakes, or you want to make sure that the thoughts flow properly, you want to make sure, you know, that you didn't miss a thought, you know, et cetera.
Man, you talk about the old days, and the old days when we had typewriters before word processors. I was in college, and I was working on my resume. And they were emphasizing you had no mistakes in the margins, no mistakes in spaces between sentences and words. So I'm taking a look at my resume. And then as I got home, I noticed a mistake. I have no typewriter. I had to go back to school, borrow their typewriter to do my resume over again. Finally
Damn.
Got a typewriter.
You're dedicated.
Well, you know, I think that's, well, not only is that the way it's supposed to be, probably other people had to do the same thing as well.
Well, maybe.
I was not a rich college student.
No. I understand.
Not many of them really are.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Carlson, he said that COVID, more than any other public health emergency, may be the greatest crime in history. And I don't doubt that one bit. Greatest crime. They wanted to see what the world would do. And they found out a bunch of followers, a bunch of sheeple. We put our mask on.
Oh, yeah. They found that out, all right. Oh, and for a 2% mortality rate issued by the CDC, letting us know 2%. You would think Americans with at least a meager knowledge of mathematics would say, let me see, 2%. Let me look on the internet to see what influenza does, chicken pox, smallpox, measles. What?
Well, either that or even a matter of, especially, you know, shoppers. It's on sale, 2% off. People are going, that's not very much. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Sorry. Just using some
no,
other logic, I guess.
Not very much at all.
And then, when it first started, I used my spreadsheet and I said, nah, 2% plus the numbers they're saying are supposed to be the total figures at the time. I said, this is not a dangerous disease at all.
Exactly.
But you know what happened about, I would say, 5 to 6 weeks ago now? The doctors came out, the ones on our side, not their doctors, our doctors said, they discovered what's called long COVID, meaning that even if you got it and you were asymptomatic, or even if you had the symptoms, about a year later, even though you're supposed to have immunity, that COVID, not the vaccine, could still do damage to your RNA and your DNA. So that's a problem they're saying now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something I heard a couple of few people say too, a couple of doctors, a couple others reporting on it, that people that got the vaccine are the ones that are actually breaking out with the monkeypox. And the people that did not get, there's been nobody that has not gotten the vaccine that has had monkeypox. It's just the people that have been vaccinated. Is it coincidence? I don't know.
Hmm. You guys know anybody personally died from it? I know too.
From COVID?
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard question. It really is, because everybody was diagnosed as COVID, and people that passed away, their families were told that they died from COVID, even though it may have been
that's true.
Something else. So to me, that's a trick question, Bianchi. Families believe that their loved ones died of COVID or from COVID, but is that the truth?
I know one who had a stroke from the shot.
I believe it.
Man, that's more probable than the COVID itself.
Yeah.
I had been calling a friend of mine for a month, so the phone wouldn't answer. Finally found out that he died earlier part of the year.
Oh, sorry about that.
But there's another guy in New Orleans died. But, you know, it's a flip of the coin.
It is. But, I mean, like I said, it's like, how do we know there was truly COVID that they died from?
Well, you don't.
That's the hard question.
The thing is that everybody was diagnosed with COVID. You could have gone in there with a shotgun wound, and you were diagnosed with COVID.
Right. Motorcycle accident, car accident.
That's right. Told you, Tom. I told everybody that early, I think last year, lady had her third heart attack, and it was a massive. It killed her, but she died from complications of COVID.
Oh, yeah, not the vaccine. Complications of COVID.
Yeah. COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is in New York City and city of New York, and we know what happened there. Same thing happened here with the older people. Everybody that had COVID that passed away, most of them had a underlying disease, cancer, heart disease, emphysema.
Diabetes.
Yeah. And, they all died. Well, that congressman, you know, he's a doctor. He went back to, Minnesota, and on his, break, vacation, whatever you want to call it, and he had a memo, not a memo, a letter from the, I don't know from, he said from, I think it was from the, what was that? Anyway, he said it. Everybody had to be diagnosed as COVID. Related, whether it was related or died of COVID. And he said right there, you knew it was the scam was in.
Sure.
I had that tape. I don't know where in the hell I did with it. I meant to save it.
So I have a question for you guys. What about these protesters, I'm going to say if air quotes protesters, in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes? I'm sorry, I find it extremely wrong.
That's
if you want to protest, it is, but if you want to protest, I get it, and you have it, but do it in front of the Supreme Court, if that's what you want to do, you know, where it happened. But not in their homes. Not at their homes.
They should arrest the person that doxed them on the internet. That person should be.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever whoever tweeted it out, if, you know, 10 people should go to jail. That is against the law, what they're doing, and DOJ is doing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible, what they're doing. Well, yeah, and then he goes out to eat dinner, Kavanaugh does, and they raise hell, and he had to leave. They had to go out the back door, get out of there. People just screaming at him and calling him every name in a book. Well, you could think of Maxine Waters and AOC and all the rest of these morons that get online and tell everybody to get in their face.
Me and Joe, we ought to go out and be security for Kavanaugh.
I wouldn't mind. I was thinking about what you were talking about a couple of days ago, Bianchi, when your remedy was, we as a people got to fight back, and we do. Only thing is that since we're not especially organized, to storm the Bastille would not be a wise decision right now. But that is something that the American people have a right to do. If we know for sure that these people in Congress, the DOJ, et cetera, are really traitors, I think we should go and do citizens arrest. And if we kick their ass along the way to jail, why not?
You're damn right. They resisted arrest. Ain't got no business being here anyway. You should have 100 people walking down the street with signs, we looking for illegals.
I'd like that.
They'd get a message across, wanted Donnie.
Oh, yeah. They'd get their attention. Absolutely.
It's amazing how the pathway to destruction done by illegals is escaped by a lot of Americans. I remember before I stopped listening to Hattie, which is about a year and a half or even longer now, and he was talking about when Biden took office. Before Biden took office, we still had a problem at the border. 100,000 people had come through, and I think there are 100,000 felonies. Well, there are more than 100,000 people that come through, but 100,000 felonies, I believe, had occurred in the 2 years prior to the election being stolen. That's how bad it was then. 100,000 felonies.
Well, you know, these young men that's coming up here, if they couldn't find work at home, they was probably indulged in some criminal activity, and they probably bringing that with them. I mean, let's use some common sense.
Yep.
Anybody that's got some of worth that would be working there. If they don't, then how are they going to survive? Well, if they can't work, how else do you think they're going to survive? And they bring in that label, that cloak up here to the States with them. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have any better chances of getting good work up here. You don't speak the language. You're going to work for smaller wages. You might have a way more freedom here than you do back in your shithole country. But if you're a criminal back there, you're going to be a criminal up here.
All this crap we see going on, an attack of the Second Amendment, now you got delivery service, FedEx, UPS, saying they're refusing to deliver guns that somebody's paid for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to go after them, too.
Yeah.
No UPS drivers come up on your property. Damn. I never seen nothing like this before. How in the hell a corporation going to make people circumvent their supreme law of the land? It's getting bad, Donnie.
Well, yeah, it's getting bad. It's scary. It's just, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Probably what Joe said. I think people are going to have enough of this crap eventually. And say enough is enough.
Even if the American people don't rise up on their own initiative, they're going to have to be forced to fight back when it gets real bad. When the shortages in the supermarkets get very bad, when the gangs start looting, when the gangs start being let out on no cash bail, don't have to show up in court, and they start raiding not just your stores, but they start going to your home? Oh, yeah.
So what do you, when people say enough's enough, what do you think they're actually going to do?
When they say enough is enough?
Yep, when they've had enough, what do you think they're actually going to do?
Well, like I said,
what action are they going to take?
They probably won't rise up on their own initiative, but if somebody goes
rise
to your
up
home,
and do what? Rise up and do what?
Rise up and do what?
Yeah, what are they going to rise up and do?
I said they're not.
Okay, but if you, but when Donna said something about people are going to say enough, and they're going to, what do you think they're going to do?
They're going to rise up and start kicking some butts. You had a rally and you got some people there saying some obscene things. Let's just lay into them. Hell, what else you going to do? They laying into you. You got elderly people going to riots, going to rallies, and on their way, they get jumped. You got to protect that. That's what you do.
And
another thing you do, you take your kids out of these ratchet government schools and get rid of these board members. That is probably step two from the ultimate. Well, I tell you what, that's probably step one from zero. When you get
so
to zero,
getting,
look out.
Yeah.
Well, so they're going to defend themselves with their guns. You know, I don't know if they're going to.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to go to your house. You and Scott are going to be home, and the question goes back to you because that's where I was going with it. I didn't say that they were going to rise up. I said they weren't going to rise up. I said, well, what happened is they weren't taking the initiative. They would have to fight back defensively when they're attacked.
Right.
So when they come to your house, now you've got the question, what are we going to do?
Well, we've got a few shotguns.
That's right.
They're going to meet. You know, get off my property. Otherwise, you're going to be looking down this barrel, and this barrel's
going to come at you. I tell you something else that needs to be done. Any candidates for government office, positions, state and local, government, school board, they need to be had to take and pass a constitutional test, just like the U.S. citizen test. They have to pass with an appreciable grade, no 51%. They need to pass those tests if they're going to be a representative, a school board member, in government. No matter. They need to pass the constitutional test. How in the hell are you going to swear to defend and uphold something you don't know nothing about? Never read it.
What did you
That's
say
a bunch
the
of bullcrap.
What percentage did you say they need to pass with?
They need to pass, I would say, with at least a 90.
I would agree. I mean, they need to have what I would consider an A.
When we get our pilot's license, your drone license to utilize drones commercially, you got to pass a test. Every 2 years, you got to have a supplemental refresher course. That's what's needed. Teachers need to have passed their constitutional test. Students need to not only study the U.S. Constitution, but all the components that support it.
From
the Federalist Paper up to the Articles of Confederation. They should know that the Declaration of Independence was not part of the U.S. Constitution. It was directed in another direction, but they need to know it. They need to study the wars. They need to study the generals like Patton, MacArthur, Custer, all of them. Then you wouldn't have them tearing these things down and participating in.
For teachers and students, that should be part of the course. And in better schools, it already is. But for politicians, you know what they'll do with that? They'll say, look at me. I got a 95. And every SEAL, otherwise known as the American citizen, will start clapping and say, yeah. And then he gets elected into office and still turns out to be an asshole. When I grilled my candidate on the other show, I put skin in the game. And I asked the guy, I said, how about this? How about your first day, the first week in office? Now, he was running for representative. I said, you don't have much power, but will you go around to the other 50 people who are in your party and ask them to support you to probe corruption. He goes, yes. I said, the first week, first day. He says, yeah. And I said, if you do that, will you be willing to reveal the names of all the people you've talked to and who said no in your newsletter or in a press conference? He said, yes. I said, okay. And then, would you be willing to have a recall for you if you don't do what you say you're going to do? Eventually, he said yes. But, you know,
well, actually, yeah, well, that's a good point. I tell you something else too.
Well,
if the delivery service.
Can I kind of go back on your thought a moment?
Go ahead.
When you were talking about Custer, you know, they need to let. It's like the words aren't here now. Hold on. The left is rewriting history, in a sense, because they were claiming that Custer was highly racist. You know, or they're claiming all these statues that these people are tearing down, those people were racist. It's like, are you sure they were racist? Are you sure? You know, I don't know. I'm just.
But you shouldn't even engage. You know, I can't tell you what to do. Well, why would you even engage in that, draw me into foolish conversation? That was U.S.
No,
soldiers.
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That was how they were getting these people to tear these statues down. By telling them that these people were racist and there shouldn't be a statue erected to them. So why the hell do we have a statue for Obama? Because, you know what? He's a huge racist, too.
Well, I tell you what, somebody that was here doing something illegal and Custer was shooting at him, I guess they would consider him a racist. You got bullets flying all around your head. You're in the wrong. And if they can restrict delivery of things used for your guns, well, then we should demand that they restrict delivery for things used for abortion. Gloves, swabs, forceps, and also restrict delivery of explicit material that's being delivered to these school districts. These books with all that crazy mess in them.
You
got to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
Fight them back.
Yeah.
You know what book they're going after now? The Bible.
Oh, yeah.
They've been going after the Bible for years.
Yeah.
For years and years and years and years.
Well, that's true. But this is under the umbrella of PC. Microaggression, the same way they try to get rid of certain terms in Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, they want to get rid of certain they want to get rid of certain vocabulary in the Bible because it's modern day racism, modern day PC.
Okay, but and Joe, when my last kids graduated in 2017, my oldest graduated in 2011. Okay, when they were in middle school, high school, they were not allowed to bring their Bible to school. So this has been going on for years, upon years, upon years.
There's a difference between the separation of state and religion with regards to bringing the Bible to school and bringing it to a little bit of a further degree now where they want to change the scriptures. They want to change the terminology. Like they changed the definition of certain words. They want to change the writings in the Bible.
They've already been doing that. There is one version that is called, hold on, let me think, The Message. It's been out for a long, long time. And it is more PC. It's been PC. They changed some of like the him and hers and to they's. I mean, they did that a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
They did that a long time ago.
Well,
and I'm looking
picking up
when it was.
Now.
But first, we have to secure the victories for Kelly and Sarah in this primary. So get your friends, get your family, and get out and vote. Gotta do it. Together, we will fight for more jobs for American families. Fair trade for American workers. Look what I did, USMCA. Remember, they said NAFTA, the worst deal ever made in the history of trade. And we had it. In fact, Mexico and Canada, as you probably heard, they want to renegotiate the deal. Just like they want to renegotiate the price of Air Force One Boeing because they said the deal that Trump made, we're losing our shirt. That's something nice about that, isn't it? Can you imagine? They want to renegotiate the price, and I'm sure these people will do it. They're going to lose $600 million. And more American factories forging more products stamped with that beautiful, beautiful phrase, made in the USA. We will shut down Biden's border disaster, reinstitute our strong Remain in Mexico policy, strengthen the patriots of ICE and Border Patrol, incredible people. We will again end catch and release. We will end chain migration. We will end the visa lottery. And we will clamp down on illegal immigration just like we did less than 2 years ago. How about I got through very good negotiation? I got a thing called Remain in Mexico. They have to remain in Mexico, the killers and everybody else that wants to come in. And Biden ended it. He ended it. Do you believe it? He ended it. So now they can remain in the United States and never have to leave. We will stop the crime wave in Democrat-run cities. We will give our police the power they need and the respect they deserve and let them do their job the way only they know how to do it. And we will not take legal protection away from our police. We will restore law and order in America. We will hold China accountable for unleashing the most vicious virus that anybody's ever seen upon the world. We will protect innocent life. We will defend our Constitution. We will defend the Second Amendment, which is under siege, and we will proudly uphold the Judeo-Christian values and principles of our nation's founding. We will restore patriotic education to our schools, and we will teach our children to love their country, honor our history, and always, always, always respect our great American flag. Thank you.
He's live in Alaska tonight, and he's about done. All right,
hey, Joe. The message came out, or they started publishing in 1993, and the full copyright came out in 2002.
Oh.
What got published in 92?
They started segments of publishing in 1993, and the complete publishing was done. It's copyrighted for 2002.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The Message Bible we were talking about.
Oh, the Message Bible. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I mean, they started doing this a long time ago. We just were oblivious to it, in a sense. I mean, I never liked the Bible Message Bible, but that was me, because I didn't agree with the way it was written.
Well,
so.
All right.
There was a show that I wanted to get to, couldn't get to, because I have this new 515 area code, and it was about why are there different Bibles? I would like to have gone to that show to ask them how many Bibles are there. And why, within the Christian theology?
You mean translations?
No, I'm talking about, like, there's the King James and there's a few others.
Right, those are different translations.
Okay,
different
rather
versions.
Than the different Bibles.
Right. Okay. All right. Oral Roberts Family Hour will be next Sunday.
Oh, that's good. I won't be there.
I won't either, but hey, just in case.
Mm.
Oh, man. People are sending me, we did talk about the FBI director, right, Joe?
For a few minutes, yeah.
Yeah, who sent me that? Johnny C. Orlando, Florida. I can't even speak. He sent me this. It's only a few seconds here, and I'll play this.
U.S. and British intelligence officials are on high alert over the Chinese government's unrelenting efforts to steal technology from the West. And Fox News spoke exclusively to two of those officials. David Spunt is live from London. David.
David,
hi, Anita. Both Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Ken McCallum, the director of MI5, the British spy agency in charge of protecting the homeland here in the UK, sat down with me for about 15 minutes or so. The interview ended about an hour ago. We talked about many different things, including China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. But the conversation, Anita and Rich, always came back to China. They both see that as the largest growing threat to the United States, not just to business executives or people that are wealthy, even people that use the internet, to everyday people. They say it is relentless and it is getting worse. Now, the Department of Justice earlier this year under the Biden administration, Anita, got rid of something called the China Initiative. It was a program set up a few years ago to combat Chinese espionage in the U.S. education system. DOJ ended up getting rid of it. I asked the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, if he thought that was a mistake. Listen.
We're going to follow the facts and the law wherever they lead. We are not going to engage in profiling by ethnicity or national origin, and we haven't. And we're going to work jointly with universities. In many cases, that's one of the most effective ways to prevent stealing of research, which is in the hands of our universities.
The FBI has had a presence in London since World War II, 80 years ago, exactly in 1942. Uh-huh. Both men met with business executives this week to talk about intelligence threats, specifically from communist China, and they have a message that they are not against the Chinese people.
So we have no problem with the Chinese people. There is so much to admire there. The UK-Chinese diaspora makes a very positive contribution to UK life, but we do need to send a clear signal about the activities of the Chinese Communist Party.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Johnny C. Yeah. We talked.
Hey, Johnny.
Hello, sir.
Have you ever heard the slogan, blood is thicker than water?
Yes, I have.
Well, do you think that somebody of a Chinese persuasion would be favorable to somebody of Chinese persuasion spying on U.S. agencies and institutions and facilities? Just like
well,
down there in Valdez, Texas, where the border is wide open, people are coming across. Come walking through that town, you think that if they knock on one of those residents' doors, which is heavily Hispanic, you think that the household would give them some sort of refuge? Or are you going to think they're going to pull out a shotgun and hold them till the police come? Blood is thicker than water. So when you say you're not concerned with Chinese people, that's a dumb thing to say. Hell, you don't know who the hell to be concerned with.
I agree. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And speaking of which, you know how much of our oil, Biden, our reserve oil, Biden sent to China?
1 million barrels.
Actually, it's 50, or closer to 50 million. And it was reported by the New York, I want to say the New York Post, last November.
Well,
believe it or not.
Yeah, I just got the thing in and it says 1 million. We sold 1 million barrels. I guess.
You know,
go ahead.
And it was companies associated with probably had some sort of relationship with his damn son.
He did.
Well,
that's exactly right. You're right.
But you remember when he opened up the reserves last fall? And when he got into them, that was, and I found it interesting, though, the New York Post was the one that reported on it, and Bloomberg reported on it, but it was 50 million barrels then, and since he sent more. It's like, why is he sending our reserve oil to China in such quantities, too?
Well, it's also through Biden's son. We mentioned that. Cinnamon mentioned that earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Just freaking amazing. That's like Biden giving that gal that dropped her flag and didn't he disrespected the United States. When they won the soccer championship, whatever the hell, gold medal.
Did you see the one though, where he put the medal on backwards?
Yeah, yeah, I seen it.
And he was like looking like, I'm so proud of myself. I just did such a good thing. Oh my gosh.
It took him a while to get it on too, but then when he got it on, it was backwards. And the guy noticed, knew it because he could tell. He didn't do
obviously
anything. Yeah, he walked off. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh. And people wonder why we're a laughing stock.
Well, why in the world don't we hear anything from the Republicans? I don't hear anything. I don't hear crap from Mitch McConnell. He doesn't say shit. Oh, yeah, that's right. His wife is Chinese, and her dad owns a big shipping company in China. That might be why, right, Joe?
Could be.
I think Joe's here somewhere. I heard him.
Yeah, I said that you were right. Yeah, those little things like the Chinese wife and, you know, the donations under the table and all that kind of good shit.
Oh, that stuff. You're not supposed to mention that stuff. Come on, Joe.
Yeah, because I'm spreading disinfo.
Oh, man.
Hey, by the way, how's Kathy and Daniel?
Well, you know, I just noticed there was an Alabama number, and I went to click on it and it's gone. So I don't know.
Well, they'll be back if they can.
Maybe I'll call out. Maybe I can use the switchboard and call.
You want to use one of my 41 phones?
Yeah, 42, Joe. 42.
That's right. Forgot the number. I keep one in reserve.
Well, hell. Yeah, boy, I tell you, we're just, this country is so screwed up, it's terrible, just terrible.
You know, I was in a bad mood when I got on the phone tonight because remember when I started off with the with Biden's declaration that he thinks that the entire SCOTUS should be abolished. What a tragedy they've done. And I'm saying to myself, oh, God, Jesus Christ. And he's doing this publicly. It's not even behind closed. You know, it's not behind closed doors. It's not done surreptitiously. It's in our face. And they're going to be so – how many people do you think probably clapped when they heard that?
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, we got to get rid of the third branch because they're extremists. You stupid bitches.
Yeah. You know, they're the ones, the politicians, that get up on these newscasts and start spewing bullshit. Like Schiff, he gets on these TV news shows and lies, and nobody calls him out on it. Mm-hmm. And that pisses a lot of people off. You know, they listen. There's people that listen to what he's got to say. And Maxine Waters, they listen to her and what she's got to say. These people get away with all that crap.
But you know what's really going on? Well,
get kicked off the internet.
You're breaking up, Donnie.
Oh, okay. I don't know why.
You probably moved your headset or a wire or something like I've done.
Doggone technology.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you back, buddy?
You were doing good till you mentioned Maxine Waters' name.
Yeah.
Now you infected.
Right.
She heard you. Flew overhead on a broom.
You're infected.
Yeah.
Kick me off, guys.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Yeah, they kicked me off. And I even use a different server. That I don't understand.
Well, now you know. It's Blog Talk for goddamn sure. They don't either they don't know what they're doing, or they're targeting conservatives and maybe some other people who are spreading so-called disinfo. I wouldn't put it past them now.
Damn.
You know what I think is going? You know what I predict is going to be another very, very disturbing trend in the next 3 years if we survive? I believe, despite I think a lot of people will not agree with me, but I think if the laws for this new abortion, which is really infanticide, become very, very popular, I believe that in 3 years there's going to be a minimum 500,000 killings of babies, which are 28 days old, under the law.
Well, I think that's why they changed the law. I mean, send it back to the state because they kept pushing the envelope. They kept pushing the envelope. Go ahead.
What was that executive order, though, that Biden did this week? I didn't understand it because I couldn't understand what the hell he was saying. But it's something about an executive order having to deal with abortion or women's health. I don't know. I couldn't understand him. Does anybody else hear about that? Know about it?
I'm hearing background noise.
It ain't me.
I am too.
No, that was Bianca. He put himself on mute.
Oh.
But what is that executive order about? Does anybody really know? But it has to do with because of the role. That's when he made the comment about the SCOTUS being political. I mean, having a political agenda.
Biden's executive orders shouldn't go against state constitutional rights. That's another thing that you wanted to know how the fight back is going to be. Fight back is going to be when states tell the federal government to go to hell.
If the executive order should not go against the Supreme Court ruling either.
When if it's unconstitutional, states should say we're not going to do it.
That's right.
Simple as that.
And executive orders, in its present form, which has been in its present form for a few decades, it should not even be allowed to exist. When an executive order was first written by a president way, way, way back when, it was just a commentary by him on a law. Then it bastardized into becoming a law. He doesn't have the power constitutionally to pass laws.
Right.
Did anybody hear me when I was talking about the infanticide?
About the what?
The infanticide. I was saying that in the next 3 years, if this new law becomes popular, where you can kill your baby 28 days after it's given birth, they're calling it a post-birth abortion, okay, that in 3 years there will be a minimum 500,000 women who will have that so-called abortion.
Well,
it's very sad, isn't it? I was on mute because I was eating a chip. So,
oh, okay.
I didn't want to crunch in your ear. But it's really sad that... I'm sorry. It's just really sad that we're killing babies in this convenience thing. You know, and I hear constantly arguments of, like, you know, somebody brought up, oh, there's a 10-year-old little girl that's pregnant. Ooh. And, you know, she should be able to get an abortion. And then I heard... somebody else I talked to, I went up to Frankenmuth for the fireworks with the neighbors, and I was up there early, and there was a lady wanting me to sign a petition for women's health rights. And, you know, and I said, well, what rights don't I have? Well, you don't have the right to get an abortion. I said, well, what about the baby's rights? Well, it's a fetus. It's a clump of cells. I said, well, I'm a clump of cells. You know, you're going to kill me? I said, it's a baby. I said, if you kill, if you get in a car accident and you hit a woman that's pregnant and she loses the child, do you know that you will be charged with homicide? Do you know that if you kill both of them, you will be killed or charged with two counts of homicide? I said, you know, she goes, let's try to give me this story of her, I want to say her attorney general, supposedly was pregnant with triplets, and one triplet wasn't viable, so they went in and aborted the one triplet that wasn't viable so she could deliver the other two healthy babies. And I said, do you realize how rare those things are, though? I said, that accounts for about 5 to 6% between rape, incest, health of the mother, irregularities of the baby, you know, i.e. like the organs are growing outside the body as opposed to inside the body, things of that, those nature, true medical issues. I said, those only account to 5 to 6%. I said, 94% of those is because people don't want to take responsibility for their actions. They don't want to take precautions. They look at it as an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience to have a baby. I can't afford to have a baby. Well, if you can afford to have a baby, then either A, don't have sex, or B, don't have unprotected sex. Bottom line, there's a very simple answer to this. Is it for the 94% that are using this as birth control? And she just kind of looked at me. And then the other petition she wanted me to sign for to get on the ballot was for voting. You know, valid ID, registered, you know, legal citizen. And then she threw at me that here in Michigan they wanted 3 days of voting. 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, 1 day is sufficient. I said, you had me up until 3 days. I said, I was willing to sign. I said, but then you said the 3 days. I said, 1 day. She goes, well, you do realize that there are people working 2 and 3 jobs, and they don't get the day off to be able to vote like they're supposed to. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, no, their employer is legally bound to allow them time to go to the polls. I said, so if during her shift, the shift or one of their shifts, they say, I need to go vote, the employer is... it's supposed to allow the employee to go vote, regardless. I said, we don't need 3 days. And, you know, and then people don't trust the mail-in ballots anymore. I said, I wonder why. I said, but you know what? You can get an absentee ballot. You can fill it out. And you can drop it off at your local clerk's office or your county clerk's office, either one. I said, so that's an excuse. I said, no, we don't need 3 days. So, well, sign the petition and you can vote on it in the summer. I said, I ain't signing the petition because if I sign the petition, it says I support it, and I'm not supporting it. And people are getting crazy. I'm telling you, they're getting crazy.
I actually don't mind because as you were talking, I actually don't mind about 2 days, maybe even extended for 3 days voting, but I'm not extending it for mail-in ballots or for what's the other one, which is similar to mail-in ballots? Well, I'm not extending it for that. Let's say, for example, you're a doctor, and your shift, you're doing emergency surgery, and you don't have time to go to the polls and do surgery at the same time. Well, you shouldn't be forced within the horns of a dilemma. So for people who want to go in person, I would say maybe 2 days, and under certain circumstances, perhaps 3, but not for the mail-in ballots, not for drop-off ballots, and not for absentee ballots. Is that what she was talking about?
I can't get on board even with that, just for the simple fact that it's too easy for them to... it gives them a longer period of time to stuff the ballot box.
That is true.
Okay.
But when you do have a surgeon or a pilot... and he has, a military officer,
okay,
or military personnel. You...
well, military, they get their ballots in the mail. I mean, and...
okay.
But, or, like, my son, he would get one online. He would get a sent from our county clerk.
That takes care of that, then.
You know, it's doable. But even, say, for a surgeon, as you're saying, election day is... same day every year, okay? And I understand a surgeon, they would schedule their surgeries. Now, an ER surgeon, okay.
That's where I was going to get to, ER surgeon.
Emergency. But even those, they can prepare with an absentee ballot. They can prepare because they know that they have to work this shift and they could possibly
if
be in there. Can,
maybe.
They
if,
can prepare prior to applying
to
the absentee
ER,
ballot.
Besides which, it's still a stress. It's still a kind of a stress on an ER. I would think, still, I would rather somebody vote in person, have the signatures checked by somebody who's actually qualified to check.
Well, if they were doing their absentee ballots properly, they would be doing that because when you apply for an absentee ballot, you were supposed to show your ID. You were supposed to get a signature verification right there because you have to sign to get to sign an application for it. So immediately when you're applying for that absentee ballot, you're being verified. And then when you mail it in or drop it off to your clerk, you're supposed to sign the outside envelope as well. Another, they've already got your signature on file from your application from coming in.
That's
now
the
they
word,
need to verify
though.
That. Those,
right. But that the biggest word is if, and there are too many questions.
Okay, I get it.
You know.
This is the way it's supposed to go, though. And if you're an ER surgeon or somebody of that nature, they can prepare months in advance.
Not necessarily. No, I wouldn't say so. Even if you are so-called, you know, still.
Well,
would you rather
know about where you are, but even here in Michigan, you only need to apply once for an absentee ballot.
I still would rather somebody do it in person than do it by mail or by absentee ballot because...
I agree, but there's still avenues that they can be taken for those.
Those avenues are the ones that were taken advantage of, and yet, take a look at what happened. Now, yes, we can talk about how it shouldn't have happened, but it did.
But I'm just saying that's a minuscule amount of people.
For what, the stolen election? A minuscule amount of people for the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots, and the drop-off ballots?
Yeah.
No. There were hundreds of thousands of ballots that were either legally done, but illegally, how can I best say it? It conformed to legal, they conformed to illegal protocol, but the ballots themselves were legal, therefore making the ballot itself illegal, such as 2,000 mules had already displayed. The ballots
right.
they dropped off, it shouldn't have been picked up, or even though the ballots themselves were legal.
Right. But, you know, you have to look at the whole picture here. Okay? During the 2020 election, what was going on? People were in lockdown. You weren't supposed to go places. You weren't supposed to do things. Very few things were opening up. And if you opened up, you still had to be 6 feet apart, and you had to... You know, wear your mask, and you had to do this, and you had to do that, and people were scared to death of catching a virus that has a mortality rate of 2%. Okay? People were scared to death. So you, on a normal elections, that's not the case. Okay? So your people that would be doing your absentee ballots and stuff are very minuscule. That was a rare...
I don't know about the absentee ballot. I think
I'm talking about for the need of drop-off ballots / absentee ballots.
It occurred because, of course, Warburg, COVID, and everything being coordinated together. However, when it comes to election fraud, that's been going on for decades. Philadelphia's famous for it. Newark, New Jersey's famous for it. Louisiana, the whole entire state is famous for it. Huey Long, for example. So
Michigan is great for it.
Yeah, oh, got it. You think Whitmer's in there because people voted for him?
Hell no. Hell no. But I'm just getting at is on a normal election cycle, that is not the normal.
Even on the normal election cycle, we still have to be in our P's and Q's, and I would think.
I agree.
You know, that. The way
but the need for
now,
that many absentee ballots.
Yeah, we're not going back to normal. Unfortunately.
There isn't a normal anymore.
Well, you got to fight. You got to stand outside those, post outside those drop boxes with people that's watching them, taking turns, taking shifts, and be sitting there with a Louisville Slugger and a camera.
Camera, yeah, Louisville Slugger. I'm not going to jail for until.
Well, I can guarantee you they're gonna get rises with you if you ask a question. Why are you dumping a whole trash bag full of ballots in this box?
Yeah.
Yeah, that they would. If they would let you get that close to begin with. I'm glad that that guy that drove the truck from either Pennsylvania to New York or vice versa, that he became a whistleblower.
Well, he probably had a substantial education.
I don't know what guy you're talking about.
Probably came from a family where they instilled some values within his upbringing.
You know who it is, Gene. That guy that was driving the ballots, the mail-in ballots that came in on the night of the election.
Right, right. It took me a minute to register it.
Okay.
It took me a moment to register.
Because we talked about him on the show.
A lot's happened since then.
Don't blame that.
Has it not?
Memory.
Has it not? I mean, honestly, there's been a lot between the Supreme Court rulings and Biden doing all the shit with Afghanistan and China and oil and Ukraine and Biden and Hunter and election fraud and I mean, there's been a lot going on. Come on, let's.
Now, when you're talking about the events which have been happening since beginning of COVID. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. So yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that. There's so much happening, and at an increased pace, too. Recently.
Oh yeah. And you expect me to remember it's like immediate. You know, give me a moment. My brain doesn't process it anymore.
You hear that, Don? Where's Donnie?
Oh, did he get kicked off again?
I don't know. Hope not.
Wonder why come these black groups that's always complaining about police brutality and shooting of unarmed black, when you make mention of a Chicago, they get pissed off.
Well, they don't want to talk about certain facts that blacks are doing it to themselves.
They make mention of a white person who was disguised in a woman's dress, by the way. Talk about how this white person that mass shot in Highland Park. Well, from January the 1st Friday to July 1st Friday to July 3rd Sunday, he had 79 shot, 8 of them killed in the city of Lori Lightfoot. So why do they get mad when you knock down their argument about white police shooting unarmed blacks?
Were you on the show when I was talking about gun control and the woman said, well, you know, whites are doing the mass shootings? And I said, maybe in the last 10 years there have been 25 mass shootings under the old category, the old definition. And let's say there were about 10 people killed per. That's 250 people. Then I mentioned Chicago. No response.
Now you have that in a damn month.
And that's just, I don't even think Chicago's
you
the
do.
Worst.
You do. No, wait a minute. You do have, because it equates to about anywhere from 19 per day in that city when you do the math.
Well, no, about 19 per day is 380 from 19 per day is 600.
That's 320 days. That's 380.
No, 30 days. 30 times 20 is 600. I don't think
that's
it's 600.
That's 270.
How much? How many?
What, 19, if you got 20 a day, that's 600 in 30
right,
days.
600 in a month, yeah. Has that occurred?
Have it occurred, 30 a day?
Yeah,
they had it so bad one day in Chicago that the hospitals closed the doors. Can't take no more.
I don't even think Chicago's the worst, unless it just became the worst recently. Isn't there another city that's even worse?
In 35 days since July the 4th, they've had 430, from Memorial Day up to Tuesday, July the 4th, they had 431 shot, 56 murders. That's 35 days. Shit, you don't kill that many Taliban.
That's true.
And then when you mention that, see, when they on a conversation, and I say, this ain't the problem, police, then they always got to put emphasis on white police. White police ain't no white police officer shot no black person in Chicago in that time frame. Last 2 years. 4,800 and some odd last counting period. This period that just passed, 4,666. No white police shootings.
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, police brutality is police brutality, whether it's three or it's four. But when they conflate the figures to make everything police brutality and racist, that to me
is... This black man that was being pursued by the police, he stopped and sped off again. Then something got into him where he shot at the police that was pursuing him. Well, what the hell do you think they're going to do when they catch you?
That's the one. Sorry, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Then they get pissed off because they say he was shot 61 times. Well, when he shot out the one, he didn't shoot at no one particular police officer. He shot at a whole bunch of them.
I was going to say, I was going to mention that little...
You asked if there was higher than Chicago, right? Per capita, this is just murder rate, okay? So it's overall murders. Per capita of 100,000 people, St. Louis is ranked number one. Baltimore is ranked number two. New Orleans is ranked number three. Detroit, number four. Cleveland, five. Las Vegas, six. Kansas City, seven. Memphis, 8. Newark, New Jersey, 9. And then Chicago, number 10. And then Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Louisville, Oakland, California, Washington, D.C. is number 19. And then Atlanta, Georgia, that's your top 20 for 2022. The most murders.
So I hear people talking about that whites are disappearing. I said, hell, you ain't got to worry about whites disappearing. You'd never be around to see the end of it. You will be long since gone.
Yep. Let me get Frank on, guys. Frank, you're on.
Oh, there's Don.
Yep.
Hello, Frank.
Francis, are you there?
Yeah, I've been on mute, doggone it. Hey, listen, good evening, everybody.
Yeah.
Going back to the voting thing, you know, it's funny that, you know, there's such a, you know, period of time to cast your vote. But, boy, when it comes IRS time, boy, everybody gets their shit in on time, don't they? It's only one day a year now. There's a deadline. There's a deadline, man. You know, everybody's trying to get their shit in there. If they don't, then they don't vote. You know, it's that simple. I mean, I think, you know, that's my input on it. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, who asked you, Frank?
What's that?
And you know what? You know what? I was just thinking about that. If we need to have more precincts because the population has grown, then that's what each area needs to do. Open up more precincts. You know,
well, that's
make
up to
it a little bit easier.
That's up to
make
the election commissioner in those counties.
Right.
And like in DeKalb County. And I named the head of the election commission in Atlanta. Heck, you only got one white person on there. All the rest of them is black. So if you don't have enough machines, if you don't have toilets, well, who in the hell are you supposed to blame on that? It's the people
right,
over in that county. and the majority of us black. So how are you blaming white folks?
Because it's easy to blame the white folks because they're always the ones to blame.
Correcto mundo.
Hey, not only
and
did I...
the reasons the white folks.
Yeah.
And
they get pissed off because people can't give you bottled water. Bottled water have campaign information on it of a candidate. Well, you're not supposed to be doing any polling within certain distance of the damn entrance to the polling place. Well, they don't want blacks to have water. Then you got some candidates that's there barbecuing chicken wings and passing out Arizona tea. And they say, well, you can't do that beyond this point here. Well, you don't want blacks to eat.
Yeah.
Well, about the eating, no, it ain't going to be about white or black. Nobody's going to be eating.
No. Wait a minute. Then you had another group of black women. Must have been about five of them. Come on, y'all. Let's go to the polling place together. Okay. When they get there, two of them don't even supposed to be voting at that spot. Then they get into an argument. Well, I'm here. Let me vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that happening all the time now.
And then they head over to their other polling spot and vote too, right?
What'd you say?
I said, and then they head over to the other polling spots and vote as well, right?
Well, that's another thing, right? If they've filled out these absentee ballots or the mail-in ballots and they don't check them and they don't train the people at the polling precincts properly enough, or if they just don't give a rat's ass totally, yeah, people will mail them in and vote.
Yep. How about Wisconsin, you guys? Did you hear the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that those ballot boxes were unconstitutional?
Yep, I did. That was good news.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
You know, the same people who are against SCOTUS right now and against against states' rights are the same ones who would be for states' rights for some other goddamn issue. They don't seem to have any type of mental propriety in that. If it can happen to you, it can happen to me. They don't understand that concept. So they're going to whine and whine and whine about the newest issue that affects them. And then when another issue comes up with the same principle that affects somebody else, No, it can't happen to you. Nope. I'm the only victim here. I'm the only victim. Just me.
Well, that's the way they like it.
Which used to be a strong nation, as individual Americans have become so goddamn victimized. Men are becoming feminized and the women are becoming more masculine. What the fuck?
Well, you got, like, talking to somebody, can't remember who, but basically, you know, I know, this is Vienna's boyfriend. And he was talking about, you know, he had a conversation with his mom, and she would tell him, you know, when we had these people, you know, as far as shooting or whatever, or we didn't have as many when we were growing up, number one, because we learned how to cope with people. We learned how to deal with people. We socialized with people. We went out and we rode bikes together. We played kickball. We learned how to, you know, be together. Kids today don't know how to be together. People don't know how to be together. It's like even dating. You know, it's like it's no more, you know, oh, she's a cute girl, she's a cute guy, let's get to know him, blah, blah, blah. No, now it's all these dating apps. Everybody's so into their phones and into their tablets and their computers, they don't even know how to socialize with another human being. I keep and then they wonder why.
I keep
seeing that all the time. They don't know how to get outside and be dirty. You know, they don't know how to grow food. They don't know how to, you know, ooh, I skinned my knee. Get up, brush it off, and walk down and ride that bike some more. You know, they don't know how to do that.
But they sure do know how to run around in the grocery store, damn it.
Yeah.
Nobody keeps
them
under control there, now do they?
No.
Look, here's the makeup of the commission in Fulton County. The chairman is Rob Pitts. His cell phone number is 404-613-2330. He's black. He's the chairman. Then you got of District 1 through 6, Liz Hossman, she's white, District 1. Bob Ellis, he's white, District 2. Lee Morris, he's white, District 3. Then District 4, 5, and 6, you got Natalie Hall, Marvin Appleton, and Khadijah Abdul Rahman, and they're all black. Well, you got four of the members.
Abdul ain't black.
You got four of the members. Yeah, you got four of the members of the total six are not white. So how in the heck, if you got a case where you don't have no toilets, you got a case where you don't have no waters, and you got a case of whatever, you can't be blaming Donald Trump.
Sure you can. Ask them. They'll do it. They believe they can blame anybody they want.
That is very true. When you have conspiracy confirmation bias, you will tap dance around reality like Fred Astaire.
I don't know how close you guys followed Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, and I've been, you know, following a little bit and hearing stuff. And you remember, I don't know if you knew, but Amber Heard got arrested for domestic violence with her previous partner in the airport. And her partner and Amber tried to say that this arresting officer who witnessed the violence, witnessed Amber assault her partner, right? And they're like, oh, she was misogynist, she was homophobe, she was this, that, and the other thing. The cop came out and said, look, I witnessed the situation. I witnessed it. That's why I placed her under arrest. And come to find out the cop is gay. She's a lesbian. So how is she a homophobe misogynist? It's an excuse that they just keep throwing out, you know, for everybody. It's like when Pankey's talking about the woman showing up at the voting place and it's the wrong one, but you're going to be accused as a racist if you don't let her vote at that polling place, even though you're telling her it's not the one she's supposed to be at. Regardless of the color of your skin, you need to go to your precinct. You know, everybody's trying massage.
Of course it is. Why do we all have disagreements? Because we all have confirmation biases. We all want to defend them to the death. Very few people are willing to listen to the other side. That's the way it is. So everybody's got to find an excuse.
Yep. And then behind you, you said one time, you know, why are white people so afraid to say anything? And it's like, because no matter what, you're labeled as something that you're not. And it's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. Okay, I put everybody to sleep.
No, I'm awake. I'm just, somebody sent me a message. I'm trying to decipher what it says.
Did anybody hear about what happened over there in another country about their debit cards and their bank, Visa?
China?
They couldn't access their account or nothing. Anybody hear about that?
Yeah, it was China, I believe. And they might have, yeah.
Well, they did that in Canada, too.
That's where it was. You're right. It was Canada.
Yeah.
Well, in
Canada,
they were
talking about that.
From their account, and they couldn't.
No, this just happened yesterday. And this happened over in Canada. People couldn't access their account. They said a computer upload that kind of screwed it all up. Yeah, right? What's the difference between a bank and a credit union?
Well, you're supposed to own the credit union, and the bank, you don't. That's the difference. Boy, I say, it got quiet.
Okay. Yeah.
What did you do, Gene?
I don't know. I was
she sent us into a thinking mode about all that shit she was just saying about how people were acting, man. It's true, too, man. I mean, everybody here agreed. It's like, damn, that's really true, man. Look around you.
Have you not noticed, too, that every mass shooting, every crime that happens, everything, it's mental illness. They're giving them an excuse for their behavior instead of making them accountable for it. It's like, I understand there's mental illness, and I'm not saying a good portion of them are not messed up, but some of them
are
just...
Who is them? Who are you referring to as them?
The media. The media.
Oh, the media. Okay.
Is, you know, mental illness this, mental illness that, mental illness this, mental illness that. And
yeah, yeah.
It's like, whatever happened to you were stupid. You did something stupid. Now own it. Own up to it. I mean, the big joke when, you know, we were young was, like, you know, it could be a crime of passion or temporary insanity. But overall, you're a sane person. You know, I'm sorry. I'm just tired of these excuses being made for people's actions. To own it. Like this guy that did the shooting on 4th of July. You know, now they're saying that he was on, you know, was he on, what they were asking, well, was he on any kind of medication? I don't give a shit if he's on 100 medications. He did something stupid. He needs to be held accountable. He doesn't need a slap on the wrist. Sorry.
Held accountable by his peers, right?
Exactly. And you know what? If he's getting
his peers, I mean, outside of the judge room, who is there?
Well,
who are their peers?
Right.
Outside
but
of a judge or out of a court system, who are their peers?
Average citizen. But
right, your neighbor, person across the street. Right.
Yeah. Right. But if this guy, you know, he should get the sentence that anybody else would get for it. Now, if he gets psychiatric help while he's incarcerated, fine. I have no issue with that. But don't give him a
right.
license or put him to a facility that doesn't have as much security. Bullshit. Bullshit. You get the penalty that is by the law. And then if you get, you know, then you can get help while you're there. And the court can order that, too. But I'm just tired of these people getting light sentences or slap on the wrist because, oh, they're mentally ill, they've got issues, they've got depression, they've got this, they've got that. Own it. Do you know how many other people battle with those same things and they don't do stupid shit?
Right,
sorry. There's my rant. I'm just angry with it all.
Donnie, pick up the, you can unmute the 323 number.
Hold on, 323?
Yeah.
Hang on, somebody just sent me a message on Twitter, and I'm printing it out so I can see it. Okay, let me get back to, I'll read this in a little while. Yeah, 323.
Okay, thanks.
No. 323, you're on.
That's me. I'm on.
Hi,
as long as you unmute it, it's okay. That's my other phone, so that in case this phone fucks up again.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah.
Yeah, 323, I got you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Jerry, and he doesn't want me to use his last name, but sent this at Twitter. Since we're talking about voting, I'm a black American. I tried I'm tired of newscasters that say black folks won't be able to vote if they don't have IDs. Black folks aren't stupid. We can get IDs. But I'll bet we all have one because we cash our checks, drive cars, own homes. Why don't you talk about that for a minute? Tired of newscasters making us look stupid. Good point.
I agree.
I said that many times. I said that many times. Bianchi, you said it.
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. Mainstream media won't mention it. It has to be the alt-right that mentions it.
Well,
you know, here's another thing, too.
Go ahead, Bianchi.
Blacks are just as disgusted of these illegals coming across the border. They just as disgusted as what went on, as pointed out in 2000 Mules. And see, that's where it lies, the division amongst people that's labeled as blacks. That division is about at least three, maybe four different groups, segments. Of course, you know you got the division amongst Africans who have non-white skin. Then you know you got the division between the conservatives, like Ben Carson, for instance, and Thomas Stowell, me. Then you got the other ones who's sconch Democrats. Now, you know, I can understand some of those younger people who's marginalized and trying to get on their feet. Well, they need those programs to help them to get on their feet. But then you got these other damn politicians want them to stay there forever, so that they can look toward them as their savior and everlasting grace. That's where, in fact, lies the problem. Then you got another group don't give a good goddamn what the hell happened, and I don't blame them.
Now, maybe the people you know, the blacks that you know are tired of this. You know and I know. Because nobody else here goes on these other talk shows. When you and I go on these different talk shows, and if they're black, they're all for immigrants coming over here because immigrants don't take their jobs. Immigrants are people looking for a better life. And I go to my, are you nuts? The first people they're going to take is your fucking job. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Talk a little louder, Joe.
You didn't hear me, or was I too loud?
I it might be my phone.
Oh, okay.
You were soft.
I was all right? Okay.
You were soft.
I was soft? I was right next to the phone.
Like your girlfriend.
I heard you. Yeah, you're a little low, not bad.
Don't ever tell a man he's soft. Okay,
yeah,
Gene,
we're not going there tonight, Dom. We're not going there tonight.
No, I'm just telling you, it's rude.
That's right. As a category, don't want to hear it.
Let me
do it. So you have to remember, a lot of people love playing victim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, especially today, people love being the victim.
She's right. There's power in being the victim. Oh, you hurt me. I'm going to tell daddy, my politician, my mommy, my teacher. Everybody but my own conscience so that I can grow up. You're right.
Like I said earlier, nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions. It's everybody else's fault. I got behind the wheel drunk and killed somebody, but it's that person's fault because they shouldn't have been on the road. Yet, I mean, or the bartender shouldn't have served me as many drinks as he did, or... You know, it's always somebody else's fault. Always.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up again because I have forgotten about it. Don't forget also, when a woman's pregnant, if she's an alcoholic or a drug addict, and that so-called fetus, which is a baby, dies as a result of her mishandling herself, that's murder or homicide or manslaughter, whatever they want to charge her with, but it's still making her culpable for that particular baby's death.
Yep, but she can willingly go to an abortion clinic and sign the dotted line
right,
and get an abortion and kill it that way.
I know. The hypocrisy of it all just makes your head spin, but this is 1984. We were warned.
Well, you know what? We were warned by Orson Welles way back before that, even, I think. You know, he was way out of his time. Way ahead of his time.
Did you say Orson Welles?
Yeah.
You mean H.G. Wells?
Sorry.
H.G. Wells.
Yeah,
I was going to say Orson Welles. What the hell did he do? 503, you are on. I think that's where we end.
Or what was, oh my gosh.
The War of the Worlds. He wrote The New World Order, I think.
Yeah. It's like, we were warned by him, if you really think about it, go back in time. Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
If you listen to If I Were the Devil, that thing is powerful. And Paul Harvey's been gone since, what, the early 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Early 70s? Something like that. He passed away a long time ago. And did this If I Were the Devil in the 60s.
Yeah.
In the 60s. And it still reeks of everything that's going on today.
If you want to go back to real tinfoil cap-wearing people, how about the John Birch Society and Lyndon LaRouche? Now, they were talking truths about communism.
Yep. So, I mean, a lot of movies, I hate to say it, have foreshadowed. So, it's like, I wonder how long they've been actually slapping it in our faces of what is to come.
Yeah. I wonder, is that a warning or is that a fulfillment that they have to ascribe to as a result of their being a Luciferian? I don't know which one.
See, I think it's more of a, we're just going to put it in your face. And like a mockery. Like a mockery. You ain't going to get it.
Yeah, it could be.
You know that.
Because people have told me I have to do it, but why do I have to do it? Do I have to do it as a mockery, which seems to be in line with their particular evil intentions? Do they have to do it as a warning as a result of their ritualistic cult behavior? Or are they doing it to warn us in some way, which seems to not be part of their agenda to me?
Right. I think it's more of a mockery.
I think so, too. I think you're right. I think they're saying, look at you, you stupid people. We told you about this. We've warned you about this. And you're still going to end up at the bottom of the well. You stupid earthlings.
Yep. It's like, I hate to say it, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but this thing that goes around about adrenochrome. If you're familiar with it or not, I don't know. But The Simpsons talked about adrenochrome. They talked about adrenochrome, and there was a movie. I can't remember what it was, the name of it.
Yeah, it's for youth. It's for the youth enhancement, taking back the age, and also, I think, for child sacrifice, I believe.
It comes from when they get the child so scared.
Guys. Hang on just for a minute. Cinnamon, we got something special we gotta ask. Go ahead, Cinnamon.
Okay, this is for, and it's probably the supply chain, but this is for one of my 91-year-old residents. She absolutely loves the Brock Royal Milkmaid treats. They're the caramel. They're the flavor-filled little caramels that you used to get in the Bronx thing where you could do the pick and mix. Anyway, if anybody sees them, because we've scanned everywhere, if anybody happens to come across them, just get in contact with us, and I'll work out how to pay and to get them to her.
Always buy them for her, and she's run out, and she loves those things, and Mickey's my girl, and...
Right.
She's an ex-waitress. She worked as a waitress or behind a deli counter for 70 years.
Yeah. She's a tough broad, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. She got a little piece of my heart. So if anybody sees any, just get in contact with us.
Okay. I have a suggestion for you.
Let us know what site.
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there.
Which I'm sure, Cinnamon, since you're already research savvy, you've probably done Google research. I don't know if it's turned up or if you've done it, but you might want to look to Amazon, because I looked to Amazon for certain foodstuffs I couldn't find, and they had it.
Yep, Amazon was where we were getting it for her. Amazon and Walmart were the big ones. I went through the last time I got it through a small candy company. I've gone through the whole United States, a couple places in Canada. They're saying that they're out of stock in Mexico even. So right now we're going to try a toffee and see if she likes that.
Okay.
There is another company name. They don't, it's the same thing, and it's Brock's. It's made by Brock's, but it's called Sweet Gourmet. So if you happen to see him that way,
okay,
just give us get in contact.
Yes. Will do if I see it. I've developed the taste for certain Arabic nuts, and they're no longer being supplied.
Arabic nuts. You screwed up everything.
Yeah.
Arabic nuts,
yeah.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know what the names of the nuts are, but they're very tasty. <Yeah.
laughs> Note to Joe. Don't talk about nuts on this show. Thank you very much.
Or you can talk about them all you want and defy Donnie.
Turning
this show into one of those
into
trips.
A candy show.
Didn't have that. Oh man.
Hey, where's my wifey?
I don't know. I think that's her, 503.
I'm here.
Oh, well, don't
I've
say anything.
I've just been listening.
Boy. Jesus, it's Jesus, you know? It's past 11. It's 2 minutes past 11. I thought you weren't going to make it.
No, I called in about, like, I don't know, 10 minutes or so before the witching hour.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I know, I'm just kind of quiet today, just been listening to the conversation and stuff and hanging back for a change.
Oh, and by the way, guys, she has no guests tomorrow?
I know, I heard. I was there Wednesday night, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a nice, cool update for my show tomorrow night. Doll Arnson, she attended the Trump rally today in Anchorage. And she's going to be sticking around town for a few days. And so she's going to have an internet connection and a phone and stuff. And she's planning on calling in tomorrow night.
Good. I haven't heard from her in a while.
Yeah, I got to dust off my co-host chair that's been sitting there collecting dust. Yeah, so I'm really excited to have her back on. She'll talk about the rally and stuff, too. So, yeah, everybody's invited to call in and join the party.
That place was packed, and they had a line, for as far as you could see, there was a line of people waiting to get in this afternoon. It was, and then I think there's two balconies, and the main floor was just full. Just not a seat to be had. It was unreal.
We can sure pull a crowd.
Yeah, she has a VIP as well, so she got, like, excellent seats, and there was, like, a VIP reception before the rally, and got our picture taken with Kelly Shivaka or whatever, and a few other people. So, so she's going to have quite the stories to tell, I'm sure, tomorrow night. Tune in for the Libertarian with Loria tomorrow night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 to midnight Eastern. Call in. It should be fun.
Yeah.
I've been on the show with Dolly before. She's a co. She's a nice, laid-back person. You'll enjoy her.
I enjoy it more if you talk louder, Joe.
Yeah, God.
How's this?
I know you're laying down, ready to pass out, but you can talk a little bit louder.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened? When I heard the word soft, it got to me.
No wonder why he was asking where I was.
Yeah. I need help.
Good Lord.
Too funny.
Yeah, but Val's a good co-host. Everybody here who does go there will enjoy the interaction.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
She's
probably one of the sweetest person you'll ever come across in the world, but she's also, don't underestimate her, she is definitely an Alaskan. You know, she's super sweet and super nice, but, you know, she teaches old ladies how to, you know, gut and clean a deer and stuff, you know.
I was going to mention that. She knows how to skin.
Damn.
Yeah, she's a out woodsman. Yeah. Just fixing up a new house.
Yeah, it's
going
to be nice to have her back. And
yeah.
At least a little bit until, you know, but then she'll go back and she'll be, they're getting more materials for phase two of the house rebuild. And So I'm like, the faster the better. I want her back. I miss having her in my co-pilot seat.
Yeah. And then again, the other part of the, well, not the trio, because we also have V. There's Jemana. V hasn't called in. These are also people that Laurie and I know who are very good co-hosts and hosts. And if you people ever went to their shows, you would enjoy it. They've come here, by the way. V hasn't come here, but Jumano is here. Dahl hasn't been here yet. But you would enjoy them.
Now, Judge Joe Brown, that's on Fridays?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to remember that.
But, yeah, Judge Joe Brown. You can put that in and you'll find him, but you'll find him popping up in a lot of the talk shows that will appear as a matter of the results. But Valerie Jones, yeah, just Judge Joe Brown. But he has to be on Valerie Jones's show. So don't forget Valerie Jones. Judge Joe Brown with Valerie Jones.
All right.
Pianchi, am I right about that? Is it Valerie Jones?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And he's also very good to listen to. He's also running for mayor of Memphis this year, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh. Very good.
I should grill him if he would let me, if Valerie would let me, but I doubt it.
He also makes a good barbecue sauce.
Well, that's
hell, you can drink it straight.
What kind of barbecue? Oh, must have alcohol in there.
Judge Joe Brown, barbecue sauce and chicken sausage.
Chicken sausage?
A chicken links, I guess.
Wow, that sounds good.
I think he just came out with it last year, too, I believe. Or has he been selling it for a long time, Pianchi?
No, just recently, Joe.
Just recently? Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe about a year or so. You should.
Yeah.
You want to hear a firecracker? A guy that does not have his mouth tethered? You got to listen to him. Oh, boy.
Yeah. He tells it like it is. Or like he thinks it is, anyway. I enjoy him.
Yeah. So you must have heard him before.
I enjoyed his TV show.
Johnny.
What's that?
I said, you must have heard him before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Is this the same Judge Joe Brown that was on TV for a while?
Yep.
Right. I liked his show on TV.
I didn't like the show on TV.
These young people. Hell, when they come into his court,
looking like a slob. He really lectured him.
Well, I like him better when he's on this particular show because he's, like I said, he's untethered, he's unfettered. He's not PC. Put it to you that way.
No, he's not.
He doesn't care who he insults. And he
was on somebody's show. Somebody sent me a tape of it, and I listened to it. Yeah. He's definitely.
Oh, no, there's no PC.
Yeah.
He makes all of us look like pikers in terms of expressing his thoughts on certain matters.
Exactly.
Straight to the point. Doesn't matter if they're insulting. I think he uses a smattering of profanity every once in a while, but he doesn't even have to do that in order to get his point across.
Nobody uses it sometimes.
Yeah.
I do enjoy him.
Yeah, he's
when he talks about Martin Luther King getting killed.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard his opinion about that.
Yeah, he'll tell you about it.
Oh, wait a minute, I did. Oh, yeah. He said that Jesse Jackson, his claim that he was there, I think he said it was a lie. Didn't he say that?
No, Jesse Jackson was there.
He was there.
Yeah, and they had a meeting. They had a meeting right after he was shot, and they weren't supposed to talk to the press. That was their agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jesse ran right up to the first reporters he could find and ran his mouth. But, yeah, he was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Whatever subject he's talking about, it's interesting.
Yeah, he makes it interesting. You know, some of those subjects I think are boring when other people talk about it. But when he gets on the floor, man, he makes it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I would say I like his persona.
He's for mayor, huh? That's great.
Yeah, he's running for mayor of Memphis. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I knew that about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago or something like that. Yeah. But I thought at the time he was going to run for mayor of Los Angeles, and then he corrected me and told me it was from Memphis.
Yeah, he's from Memphis. I'd like to see him run for, what's that guy, the white guy that's a representative? I can't think of his damn name now. Cohen? Not Cohen. Pianchi, help me out. I know you know the guy.
What city, Donnie?
Steve Cohen.
What's that?
Steve Cohen.
Steve Goin. Steve Goin or Steve Cohen? I don't know.
Cohen.
Steve Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. He's the guy who represents Shelby County, which is majority black. Local people voted, but then Congressional Black Caucus won't let him join because they got a standing rules, no whites allowed.
Yeah. He tried to get in, but they wouldn't let him.
Well, isn't that a little racist?
Of course.
It's a little racist,
but
is it not?
Racist when they do it. It's not racist when they do it. Come on.
I know. Okay, well,
people can't be racist.
Racist people.
There's at least 3 blacks that they won't let. They won't let Tim Scott because he's a Republican.
That's something.
I keep telling you that some of the biggest, ferocious, fiercest races in the country are black.
Yeah, thank
you. I believe you. I believe you.
You name me one white, and I can show you on. Tell you, name you one black. This just as racist.
I'll tell you, the ones who are probably the most dangerous to blacks are the black politicians.
I can't understand why when a black man or a woman, well, in this case, men, get to the highest pinnacle of their career, like Supreme Court or the Senate, they're not of the Democrat Party. They call them every damn name in a book, and I don't understand that.
It's party politics. It's partisan.
Yeah, but Jesus.
That ain't no party politics. A lot of this stuff, I can listen to a person talk and tell about who books they read or who they've been lectured to. And I called in on the show today and checked the guy. He's saying that the police, when they get out of the car, it's against the law for them to have a chambered round. And I call and I say, where is that law at? That's not no national law. There's no national police department. What are you talking? Oh, you said I meant to say Philadelphia.
Oh. You checked him then. Well, at least he didn't argue with you, Bianchi.
Not on that point, anyway.
Yeah, not on that point.
Well, you know, they've made it, in Philadelphia, obviously, but they're making it so police can't even be police anymore. They're too afraid of losing their job for doing their job.
They should just leave them people alone. If you got a call, you got an argument between two people, take your time getting there, and by the time you get there, only be one to deal with.
Well, I think Trump was talking about in his rally yesterday, the one in Vegas the other day.
Yesterday.
And he said that, the police are too afraid of losing their jobs. They're being, sued for doing their job. And it's like, if the police officer feels threatened, I think he has every right to defend himself. And they're taught to shoot to kill. And that's as it should be. Because it's going to come down to whether it's their life or somebody else's. And I would rather have the cop left, in my opinion.
Tell you what, I wouldn't be a police officer. Period.
Nope. I wouldn't have the patience. Even if the person is on the
you
right.
You do your job, though, Joe. You do your damn job, and you get crucified for it.
Yeah.
You lose your pension. You lose. I mean, they lose everything.
They want to make
they
it.
Lose
it. Yeah. They want to make it so that even if you follow company policy and you still do things right, if there's a victim, especially a killing, that cop is still culpable.
Yep.
But this is all by design, too, to get rid of the good cops and to replace them with the bad cops. It's what they did in Germany.
Now, did you guys see the old man, 60, he's 61 years old. He was behind the counter. He was a clerk at a... looks like a convenience store, and lady wanted chips, and it was a dollar. I forgot how it started, but anyway, the guy got pissed and got behind there and pushed him down into a chair, and then started fighting with him. And the old man looks like a knife. And killed the guy.
Yeah.
And they arrested him.
Yeah.
And they arrested him,
that's
charged
right.
him with murder. But now he's out because they lowered the bond. So now he's still charged, but they lowered the bond so he could get out.
That's
yeah, and he can't go to work.
That's another short deal. Go ahead.
Yeah.
he can't go to work because everybody's worried about his safety because they figure he's going to have a, you know, he's going to have a bullseye on his back. Even the mayor of New York called out the prosecutor on why they're charging him with murder and not self-defense.
And even the article stated.
Actually, I didn't know it was in New York.
Yeah, it was a bodega.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the Spanish-owned places in New York. And the article pointed out the guy was acting in self-defense. The guy came out, I think the guy either, the perpetrator either came over the counter or had a gun, and as you were saying, Don, put his hands on the guy.
Yeah.
Came
well, like that
now.
Officer in Grand Rapids, you know, with the taser. The car, the guy ran from a traffic stop and ended up with the cop's straight taser, and the cop shot him and killed him because it's, you know, my life or yours.
And that guy that everybody's talking about who was supposedly unarmed, but at the same time they admit that in the video there's a flash of a gun from the car, game over. You fire once, you're open target. I don't think you should have shot him, you know, running away, but at the same time, you catch up to a guy like that. You don't know what he has in his belt pocket.
Exactly.
Game over,
exactly.
Well, they're saying on that one that he ended up getting 60 different wounds. So it was kind of like a little overkill is what they're... Some of them are saying they're protesting about.
When he shot after the one, he was dead. Yeah, after the one, he was dead. But if he shot over his out the window, if cops pursuing him, he didn't shoot at one. He shot at all of them. So quite natural, all of them going to respond.
Yeah, but it is overkill.
Right.
61 shots on the guy. You know, you're dead after 20 rounds, but... I understand how the cops wanted to get in there, but still.
Well, which one killed him? You supposed to shoot until the threat has stopped. Maybe it was the 60th that finally stopped him.
I don't think a coroner would see it like that.
Could have been. Come on, Joe.
It's dark out there. Everybody's adrenaline is flowing.
Flowing. The adrenaline was flowing. Yeah. And if you're probably on the ground after 20 shots.
And then why are you shooting at police? I mean, don't nobody ask these questions. Why are you shooting at the police?
That's why it's game over.
Well, Joe,
you know, you're,
if that guy was on drugs, 20 shots might not have put him down, to be honest.
Well, you know,
yeah,
you got a point. I wasn't thinking of that.
His adrenaline is flowing. And who got
drugs
scared enough?
Drugs are to people.
And it's this rhetoric that these people are spewing out to these young people, talking about the police stop you, they're going to kill you. And whoever he sat in a lecture and they said that to him to make him believe that, they need to be facing lawsuits.
And I know this is a touchy subject, but I'm going to go back to even George Floyd, okay? Like I said before, I don't agree with the final, you know, how long they had him down. But on the flip of that, they found fentanyl and other drugs in his system, which are going to change his behavior. And some drugs make people super strong, you know, for like a, you know, like what do they talk about? Like an adrenaline thing. It's like, so, yes, we see video, but we are not feeling, you know, it's like if you grab somebody by the arm, you can feel how strong they are, how much they're pulling back or how much they're pushing on you. You know, even with George Floyd, though, it was like he was in his car with the windows rolled up when the cops first, you know, come up to him, basically, right? But then he gets in the backseat of a police car. And he's telling them he can't breathe. And they weren't doing anything to him, except he was in cuffs and trying to put him in the back seat of the car at that point. And he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And I'm like, you were just in a closed car you know, not that long ago. So why is it so different for you to get in the backseat of a police car? And then he crawls out the other side and does all, you know, whatever.
The police officer, Gene, that had his knee on his neck.
No, this is before that. It was long before that.
Hold on, Gene. Hold on. The guy that had his knee, they had a history together.
I know.
I don't know if you know. Oh, okay. So I don't know what happened in that history because I didn't follow the trial. So I don't. And you're right. There's a drug that I've seen guys throw off five or six
bath salts.
Police officers. They were that strong.
You're right. What I'm getting at is, you know, but they're trying to put him in the backseat of the vehicle. Okay, and he's screaming at that point, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And nobody's touching the man. Nobody was touching him except handcuffs.
Well, that doesn't mean that he wasn't, that he was capable of breathing. He had fentanyl in him. He may or may not have been lying, but at the same time. Well, you know what my question is about that George Floyd case? If he's on the ground for 8 minutes, why couldn't they pick his ass up? He's already in cuffs and put him in the car again.
Right.
Good point.
I agree.
That other cop had his knee on his back.
That's the one who was supposed to be
the guy was already The guy's already gone. I mean, he's already down. I mean, that's overkill.
And when you hear Judge Joe Brown talk about it, he says it's that cop who had the knee on the person's back who was responsible for making sure that the air could not get inside George Floyd's lungs, not the guy that had the knee on the guy's neck. That was a surprise to me.
Actually, it kind of makes sense.
Well, why did the other cops get charged?
They didn't interfere, and some cops testified that they tried to interfere, but the supervisor said everything's taken care of. And they still, the rookies, you know, the ones who have only been there like a very short time, they're the ones getting charged too when their senior officer tells them it's okay. I don't think that should have happened to them.
Why is it that when a person that's trying to be detained puts up all kind of resistance and so on and so on and so on, they should be additionally charged? Because what they're doing is creating a condition that would lead nobody knows where it would end up.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he was in the car. I think he got out of the car. I think he may have gotten, let me see, out in and out maybe once or twice. He didn't fight with the cops, but he did resist, and nothing happened to him.
Right.
That's why I'm saying I couldn't be a cop, because I would have picked him up and thrown him right in the back of the car. If he banged his head, he banged his head. Because enough is enough.
I agree. I guess the point, but that's the problem that we have, is cops can't be cops because, you know, there's always somebody else's fault. It's, you know, we got to treat these guys, you know, with kid gloves. And it's like, really, if you weren't doing what you were doing, then you wouldn't be where you're at, wouldn't be in the situation that you're at right now.
For the most part.
Sorry.
And why are you running away if you're innocent? Just put your hand out the window, let the cops see him, do what he says, and shut up.
Right. But they want to argue with him because they have but these people have no fear, no respect for authority at all.
You're right.
Or for consequences. And then when something happens, sadly, and they're shot and killed, then it's all the cops' fault. The families are all like, especially when it's a black person, I hate to say it, but it's true, especially when it's a black person, they're all over the news, and my baby this, and he was so good, and he was so good. Then why was he driving a stolen car, you know?
Yeah.
Or shooting at the cops, or running from the cops, or why, if he was such a good boy or a good girl, why didn't they just comply with what the officer said to them?
this doesn't excuse anything, but when you're on, you listen to all the TV news and they go on how you know, if you're black and you got a bullet, you got a bullseye on you, if a cop pulls you over, they talk about it. I'm sure their family probably talk about it. And then you're growing up listening to this crap all the time, then you get afraid. You absolutely get afraid.
Yeah, but you know what?
And they don't even necessarily have firsthand experience of it. It's outside of what they create because of them not complying or, you know, just, you know, saying, okay, yes, officer, and being respectful. Being respectful.
Yeah.
It's like there's a few guys that I follow even on Facebook that happen to be black, and they talk about them getting pulled over, themselves being pulled over. And they're like, well, I was respectful. The officer was respectful to me. You know, I was speeding. I was breaking the law or whatever the case may be. But the cop treated me with respect as I did him. You know, it's like, it's not that hard, people. But if you have nothing to hide, you hide nothing. But these people want to try to hide things.
I'm going to get John Doe on. I think. There we go. John Doe.
Yes, sir, indeedy.
There you go.
So he can.
I hear it from
you. So he got on after 11. Okay, good.
So he was already on.
Oh, he was? All right.
Yeah.
But I mean, did you? He was muted until just now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to find out, just in case I forget to.
No, he called in earlier, and I. What's this? Oh, my mail. He called in earlier, Joe, and he just put his hand up.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Yeah, keep them stats straight, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to get quiet again. It's going to be a bad show, isn't it?
Can I take the floor for a moment?
Yes, sir. By all means.
Yeah, well, see, here's another side of this story. I've said this several times, and it just seems to be dismissed, and that's why we're going to continue to see people kill each other and cops. The system is so screwed up that many people, whether they be black or white, don't feel they're going to get justice in the system, period, anyway. So they recognize that the cops, even if they cooperate with the cops, once they take them in, the system's going to run roughshod over them anyway, so they ain't going to win, so they might as well take the risk of trying to get away now by, you know, having it out with the cop and running off and hopefully getting away. But we know 9 times out of 10, they don't get away, they still get caught, because even if they get away immediately, there's so many dang cameras everywhere these days that you're going to be found, whether you like it or not. And our system is just corrupt to the point that, I mean, I'm one of those kind of people, I'll fight them. And I have multiple people that are law enforcement throughout generations in my family. And we all talk, and I know they're crooked. And that doesn't mean all of them are crooked. Most of them are good, in my opinion. But there's two. The crooked ones are getting away with their crookedness because the good ones turn a blind eye. So that makes them culpable as crooked as the ones that are doing the dirt directly. But when you got a judicial system that panders to certain prosecutors and people in positions of power that run and roughshod over these people, you got nothing to lose by trying to fight it out with the cop and run. Because you're going to get screwed once you get pulled into the system anyway.
I'm going to agree with you up to a point, though, where if you have a warrant and you know that the cop is there, and even if the cop isn't pulling you over for a warrant, once he does a check, he's going to find the warrant. You might feel, I'm not going to get a break anyhow. Let me take a run for it. But when it comes to the normal person who may be, because as Donnie was referring to, and I'm sure Bianchi will back him up, there are people who will be taught the cop is your enemy. Don't poke the bear. Put your hands out the window. Say, don't say anything if you don't want to say anything, and just do what the cop says, and you're on your way. Most of the time, anyway.
Right, most of the time. And I would agree with that. But the problem that we have is the people that are running are people that they feel threatened by the system. Well, I take this with a grain of salt. I can't speak for everybody that runs. You know what I'm saying? I just know in my own past, in my own experience, you know, I wasn't always the good guy. And it's kind of ironic, raised in a family with police officer and deputy sheriff and whatnot, that you would think that I would know better. But unfortunately, the system is so screwed up that people know they're not going to get justice. So therefore, it's like, hey, you're holding me accountable to something that you never gave me the right of consent. So you've already violated my rights to be an equitable, self-governing, free person under the Declaration of Independence, and you violated the Constitution by creating the title of nobility, and you've actually denied me my same privileges and immunities. But you're still holding me accountable to the rule of man, you know, these bureaucrats' nonsense that when you call them and you try to get redress of grievance because something, you know, and whether it be you're out after curfew or you're out smoking a joint or something and somebody wants to harass you and you're just like, hey, man, I have my right to do whatever. Now, I don't do any of that stuff. I'm a straight-laced, you know, square, you might say, when it comes to drinking and alcohol and stuff, but that's not always been the case, because up until the time I was about 20-some years old, I was running with the gangs, carrying the guns and knives and stuff, too. I just wasn't as bad as the Bloods and the Crips. I was small, fried junk. But the whole issue, in my opinion, is still comes back to, do we respect each other enough to let us determine our own burdens and encumbrances in governance? And when we want to try to say these people this people that, and we don't know the details, we're actually convicting ourselves to life of imprisonment. At some point, the system's going to say, well, you white boys or you white girls that support white boys, you are going to jail just because you think that way. And that's partly what a lot of this crap is going on right now, that they're trying to manipulate the whole system where a certain small percentage of the population that gets into positions of power get to determine all the rules, laws, process, and procedures, and they don't have to consult with the rest of it to get our consent. They just treat us like, you know, represent us like a pimp represents a prostitute. You're just my legislative slave. What we say goes. If you call in for redress of grievance and what you want your due process rights, you know, of good faith bargaining, good faith negotiating, mutuality of agreement, freedom of contract, freedom of conscience, and governing, kiss your rear and goodbye, bro. We don't give a crap about you. We're going to run over you roughshod whether you like it or not. And as goody two-shoes as I might want to try to think I am, I still respect the right of others that want to drink alcohol and do that crap that I think is nonsense. They still have the right to decide for themselves if that's what they want to do, and I have no right to try to make them live by my worldview. And I'm sick and tired of others trying to make me live by their world of view.
Well, as long as they're not hurting
others. To live there.
As long as they're not putting others in harm's way. You know, there's got to be a line. There's got to be boundaries. Sorry, there's got to be boundaries.
Yeah, there is boundaries. We all get to live our own pursuit of happiness as long as we do no other's harm. And that's where
right.
You want to, or not you, but any person that gets into government and wants to, it's just like all the corporate laws and stuff.
I think you went off on a rabbit trail, though, because it's like we were talking about, you know, criminals running and the cops, and then you were talking about, I'm assuming the judicial system being broken or corrupt. And I'm going to...
I was thinking about that, going, it's just like everything else. There are a few bad apples that get all the notoriety or all the attention to make it look like good ones are bad as well. Just like with police officers, there's a few bad ones that make all these good ones look horrible because of this.
Well, if the good ones turn a blind eye and don't call the bad ones out, then they're just as corrupt and culpable.
Well, what I'm getting at is, like, if I'm talking about, like, in front of a judge. Not all judges are corrupt and bad. I'm just going to say, I don't think all of them are. That's putting everybody in a box, and I think that's wrong.
But, Gene, there are... I'm sorry, go ahead.
There are bad judges that are bought off, that are, or want to make an example of somebody, and, you know, give a more of a severe punishment than necessary, or like Kamala Harris, you know, give light sentences here, but heavy sentences there, or, you know, whatever. They, you know, there are bad apples. I'm not going to say there's not, but I don't think all of them are. The problem is if they can claim racist, that, you know, racism or homophobe or misogynist, it's like, and it's hard to prove in air finger quotes that somebody is not a racist. How do you prove somebody's not a racist? If you call me a racist, how can I prove that I'm not without looking like a racist? I mean, it's just like, it's a vicious circle. And these cops are being, sadly, more and more, you're hearing more and more cops being put on administrative leave with pay, administrative leave without pay, being fired just because of performing their duties. And not in an excessive way, but they're still losing their jobs, and it's something they've been doing 20, 30 years. And see you later, bye, or going to jail because of it.
Well, if somebody call you a racist, call them a racist back.
Yep, I do. Now, thanks to you.
Look at this Brittany Griner. He's been held over there in Russia. You got people saying that Joe Biden should get him out, that he should be let loose. The reason I call him a he, that's what his wife called him. Everybody
well,
wants to take up
DNA
for the criminal.
Says. That's what his DNA says as well, correct?
I am seeing that, but everybody wants to take up for the criminal.
There's
the police.
Exactly. Everybody wants to make the criminal the victim. And I'm like, that's why I was earlier what I was saying. There's no accountability. There's always an excuse. Always.
Well, the system wants to create criminals. It's an adversarial system. When the rules, laws, processes, and procedures that the judges are using, and they call themselves good judges, those rules, laws, processes, and procedures are tainted because they did not have the consent of the governed. In other words, you're being held accountable. Oh, well, from now on, you know, if you, like, nowadays you can pretty much smoke weed. And I'm trying to think of something that's more relative to today, because back in the 60s and 70s, you know, you went to jail if you got caught with a joint. Today it's no big deal. But that's why I'm saying the rules that the people are being held accountable, those people are not being allowed the right to determine whether they want to be obligated to them at all. And you're automatically assuming they're a criminal, but you, or anybody, whoever says these people, you know, broke the law, they're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But number one, if you're not asking them if they want to be obligated to the rule, law, process, and procedure that you're trying to hold them accountable to, then you've broken the first rule. You've harmed them by defrauding them out of their private property rights. And you don't claim, and whoever the judge is doesn't recognize that harm. And so our country is going to continue to spiral out of control and more violence. because we aren't recognizing that very fundamental principle. Nobody gets to determine anybody else's burdens and encumbrances except you yourself. You determine your own. And if other people want to decide, oh, well, because you were, you know, black or you were whatever, and you're now a criminal, you know, we're just going to continue that same crap. Does that make sense, or am I just not communicating very effectively?
Well, I think there's a lot of gray area to what you're saying, too. It's not just as black and white as what you're saying. It's life is not that way. You know, somebody kills somebody in a car accident. Somebody kills somebody at gunpoint. Somebody robs a bank, some store. They're caught red-handed, basically. They're a criminal. Yes, they're right. Yes, they have the right to a fair trial with a jury of their peers. I get that.
It's pretty obvious and pretty common sense
that they're a criminal.
You're referring to after the fact. I'm talking about when the laws, before the law even goes into effect, you have a right of redress of grievance because they're encroaching on your private property. If you contact your congressman and your senator and you say, that sign law is infringing on my pursuit of happiness and it's making me have, you know, unequal, unfair competition with the big money guys. And the big money guys love it that way because they can force you out of, you know, competition with them and they can soak up all of your market share as the small business guys get pushed out. That's what COVID partly was about too, because when they wanted to shut the companies down and put all this, you know, social distancing and stuff and make sure you have all these special disinfectant sanitary stuff, which, you know, you should have most of that taken care of anyway, they knew that the small business owners that run their small mom-and-pop shops wouldn't be able to get enough customers to pay their rent, so they'd have to go broke. So then the multinational globalist corporations get to eat up all that market share, and they get to consolidate power into their hands. That was part of it. And I'm not sure that people are understanding the fundamental issue of what I'm trying to convey, and I'm not sure I'm the greatest communicator in trying to communicate it. And as long as we don't understand that, which I'm trying to communicate, we're still going to have continual more and more problems getting more and more out of control because people feel they have to exercise more and more force and power to get it under control. And that's actually the opposite. What you have to realize is these people that are stealing and thieving have a lot to do with the fact that the multinational corporations are using all of the digital technology to find out everything about the way you think and your psychology and what your medical and driving history and everything is. And if they think you have a propensity to cause them to spend more money on insurance because you're going to be a diabetic, or if they think that your particular psychological disposition is going to be dissenting towards their control in their corporation, they're not even going to give you a job. And then they flood the market pool with more and more foreigners coming from everywhere else so they can keep the money suppressed where they can get the lowest wage workers as possible. But they're going to play that a little bit and to make it look like they're being a little beneficent. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that word correctly. And so they'll raise the, you know, minimum wage in their job to 15 or 20 bucks an hour in order to soak a lot of that talent up. But then that pushes a whole lot of other people on the public dole that might not want to be on the public dole and makes them become professional beggars in order to make ends meet when they don't want to beg. And if the companies that are interviewing them, I mean, that are getting their resume, aren't even giving them interviews, nor if they do give them interviews, they're not even giving them a job, you know, hiring them, then that person or that group of people end up homeless, either going to shelters or church care home, you know, units, or sleeping under the bridge or out of their car and stuff. And now we still have more and more immigrants flooding into the market, and nobody cares as long. They keep saying, oh, We just have, as long as they come in legally, that's acceptable. No, because the people that are destitute are coming in my backyard and trying to steal out of my garage or out of your backyard trying to steal out of your garage. So now I have to have my guns out and go out there, and hopefully they don't have a gun if I can catch them trying to break in or steal something from me. Now I got to hold them down till the cops get here. The cops too late. It just becomes a cycle of more mess and mess. Then you end up in court battles. The cops no longer have anything to do with it once it gets into the courts. Now you have the doggone trial lawyers playing each other so they can milk this thing for every freaking hour they can, because they know as long as they can keep it in the courts, they keep making money off the deal. It's just a vicious cycle. And we have to understand the holistic aspect of how this works. And the fundamental is the people at the that are being hauled into jail are most likely the people that are on the fringes and trying to figure out how many. You don't hear of very many millionaires or people that make good money going to jail or having, you know, these kind of problems. It's because they always can afford to play the game. The people that are at the lower income scale are always the one that end up getting screwed. Thank you for the time. Back to you.
Anybody?
I think we all went to mute. We all went to mute.
I know I did.
We are a messed up society. I'm not going to deny that. I think we are just, until people, like what Joe had said earlier, until people actually rise up, and however that may look, but actually rise up to take our country back, we can sit here and talk till we're blue in the face. And it ain't going to make no difference.
And the reason that is because as a society which we were supposed to become, quote-unquote, civilized, we were supposed to handle things in a way that was different than the Romans, the Ottomans, the Armenians, the Germans, etc. We were supposed to have a republic that was supposed to, quote-unquote, guarantee our rights. I mean, a republic and a constitution. So what did we do? Instead of taking up the Neanderthal club or storming the Bastille, we entrusted our particular protection to law enforcement, judges, and politicians. And it was the right thing to do, but it was conscripted by the wrong people.
I agree.
So what other recourse do we have? Yeah, we have to rise up, probably, but we're not going to do it until we're pushed. Because we, as conservatives, libertarians, and people who do believe in I don't believe in law per se, which sounds strange. I believe in moral imperatives. And just because a law is a law doesn't mean it's a right thing to follow or a right thing to have passed. But I do believe that we, having been civilized, not especially domesticated, but yet now domesticated, we've entrusted our protection to people that we trust. And that was the beginning of the end. So we're going to have to do it the way all nations have had to do it. Storm the Bastille, rise up against the Praetorian Guard, and probably take it back by force. That's how our country was born.
So you're talking about moral compass, basically.
Yeah. I believe, and that doesn't mean I'm always right about what the conclusions I come to about what is wrong for me to follow or right for me to follow, but, you know, the laws that have been passed, 6 million of them, there's a book or an article written about everybody commits 2 felonies a day. And that means in some law, some way, somehow, we're violating it.
Probably.
And if we have enough...
I know there's some laws such as not to cuss in front of a woman. Mm-hmm. Or, silly things that are... Well, they're not silly. Actually, if we actually kind of go back to some of those laws, maybe would have that moral compass that you're speaking of, you know? Like we said earlier, they just have no respect for their authority anymore. There's no basic fear of authority or consequences anymore. And that's where the huge problem is. In my opinion, we've got too many laws on our books. Way too many laws. And they need to be streamlined because there's too many laws that contradict each other, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about respecting authority, I believe that there's a lot of authority that shouldn't be respected, but you don't poke the bear. That's why I always keep saying, using the traffic stop as an example, put your hands out the window. Don't give them any reason whatsoever to blow your brains out or to be afraid. Put your hands out
right.
the window. If they say, come out of the car, sir, get out of the car. Now, if they want to search your car, I would say no. But if they want to search me, no. But they have to have probable cause, and I don't want to give the cops, you know, any kind of slippery slope reason to continue to do that. But to get out of the car,
right.
no problem. Turn around, no problem. Can I see your license and registration? Absolutely. Do you want to get it? Do you want me to get it? You can get it, but I'll keep an eye on it. No problem. And that doesn't mean there's a lot of cops who aren't drunk on the job who want to be abusive because they've got family problems or they have problems with their colleagues or they're just nasty individuals. Keep your mouth shut. Just get back in the car, get the guy's badge number, and do it from there because you're not going to win when he arrests you for resisting arrest.
Right. Righto, Joe.
I like to have a discussion about what is the moral imperative for all of us. Should we follow laws simply because they're laws? I don't think any one of us here would say, yes, we should follow all laws. I think that goes against common sense. But I bet you there would be a disagreement about which laws to follow.
Well, like I said earlier, there's so many laws that it's like even hard to decipher what laws do we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one simple law, I think, if we can count it as a law, is if someone's contacting their congressman or their city board representative, councilman, and says, hey, this particular rule is infringing and limiting my pursuit of happiness. You guys get a high-speed fast lane to your pursuit of happiness because where you're sitting, you get that undue influence privilege that you're exercising over the rest of us, so therefore you make sure no laws infringe on your pursuit of happiness, so we're calling in to get our redress of grievance. Just follow through with it. But they won't. They only pander to their little circle of influence to protect their own little way of doing things, and then they tell the rest of us, you can just go to you know where. We don't care about you. Now, they don't say that directly. They say that by the way they conduct themselves. They'll give you lip service. Oh, yeah, we got your back. We'll take care of that for you. And you'll never hear another word about it. You'll have to keep calling them and keep bugging them and keep trying to get them to give you a resolve, and they just ignore you. You never get to talk directly to them. You always got to talk to some associate or staffer. But if we'd start with just honoring the fact that if people have a problem with a particular rule, law, process, procedure that's infringing on their pursuit of happiness, then follow through with giving them their redress of grievance. Those are a part of our Declaration of Independence and our United States Constitution. But they don't hold it up. It's just like what you're talking about earlier, I think is a great idea. Here's where the problem is on a number of other shows that I've had this conversation with, is if you do want to hold all these people that get into office accountable to pass some kind of test to make sure that they're qualified to understand the Constitution since they're taking an oath for it, whose interpretation of the Constitution are you going to require them to be tested on? Mine or yours? Or
no,
somebody
else? What there should be is what these kids was talking about yesterday, these 17-year-old high school in their community down there in California wanted an act of law where
any candidates for government, school board members, position for state and local government, they need to be able to pass a constitutional test, just like those who come here and wants to be citizens pass them. That's a good thing.
There's already a test there.
Yeah, I agree that is a good thing, Bianchi. What my question is, from other conversations with other shows on that topic, is that you've got the far left nutbags in Democratic side that interpret the Constitution one way, then you got the more middle group that's, you know, maybe center left a little bit or center right that might fall in with Lynn Cheney and some of these people on the January 6th commission that are, you know, what they consider middle of the road. They have their interpretation of the Constitution. Then you have the far right people that have their interpretation of the Constitution.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. Which interpretation are you going to quiz them for? Because the quiz
it's not about an interpretation. It's about studying the Constitution. The test say what the Article 4 say. That's all it's about. Hey, you got people swearing
out there, is what he's saying.
You got people taking oaths to defend and protect, but they don't even know what the hell is they're defending and protecting. So,
it would be a step better than what we have right now, even though it really wouldn't matter which interpretation of the Constitution you're testing for.
He's not talking about your interpretation.
What the different parts of the Constitution say.
When I went to school, I had questions about the Constitution. I told you. My grandson and his classmate, 2 years in a row, won the state of Missouri constitutional debate contest. So that's what it's about.
He's not talking about an interpretation of the Constitution. Okay, he's talking about like what the people that are applying for citizenship take.
And
those
people that's working for government. Candidates need to know it. That's one of the big problems right now. Your candidates don't even know it.
But, you know, I was just thinking.
Street taught in schools.
You consistently say about infringing upon your rights of pursuit of happiness and all that kind of stuff, right? I think, though, if we don't have the boundaries and the laws that we, you know, respectable ones, then we're going to get into nothing more than pettiness of your dog is barking and that's infringing on my pursuit of happiness. You know, I mean, there has to be some common sense moral compass, like what Joe was saying. There, it can't, because everybody's interpretation of pursuit of happiness is different, granted. But there's still got to be boundaries, because otherwise it's going to become nothing but major conflict as well, because just because I don't like my neighbor, I'm going to say, oh, you putting up a fence is an infringement on my pursuit of happiness because I can't see, you know, the landscaping or, you know, whatever. It just, it can become very, very petty. Petty.
You don't think we're already there?
Well, yeah, we're already there, especially with the racism and the, you know, all that stuff. It's evident we're already there. But what I'm getting at is that would fuel that kind of fire.
Yeah, but I think we're already there because we haven't been having discussions to truly get to the core of the interpretation of the Constitution. You have a right to your freedom, liberty, and independence to live out your pursuit of happiness as you see fit. I don't get to dictate to you what your pursuit of happiness is. It's like, if you think about it.
But if I see you're infringing on it because you're telling me that.
No, wait. If you're just saying that you and Joe were making some rational, reasonable things, well, does everybody get to decide that for themselves? Or does everybody have to go by my rationale for their pursuit of happiness?
You see, that's where, like I said, you can get into some pretty petty stuff. You know, pretty petty. For the person that is a big Karen or a big Richard, you know, they'll use it as the ninth degree. And they'll become extremely petty. And, yeah, there's got to be boundaries of of touch.
Yes.
There just has
there
to
are,
be.
There are, there's supposed to be boundaries. You are not supposed to be burdened by me or encumbered or
right.
hurt.
So if you're my neighbor, I tell you, I don't like that 7-foot fence.
Encroached by other people by using the government as a weapon to defraud you out of your rightful use of your private property called the self-governing of you.
Exactly. So I think you're infringing upon me if you're my neighbor and you're putting up a 7-foot fence. That's my interpretation of my pursuit of happiness. Does that make it right? No. It's your property. If you want to put up a 7-foot fence, you should be able to put up a 7-foot fence. But because my interpretation, I want to be petty and I want to be a Karen and say, but it's infringing upon my pursuit of happiness by you putting up that fence. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I hear what you mean, but do you understand
you're putting
how
more fuel,
do you understand
putting,
how that's hypocritical, though? You see, what that I sounds
agree.
Like, you're saying it's okay if it's something that you agree with, but it's not okay if it's something they agree with when you're not talking about
the boundaries.
You're not talking about the limits and boundaries. That person should be able to do whatever they want on their property. But whenever I want to control...
I'm not disputing that. I'm throwing out that there's examples of people that will do that. And that's like taking this fire that we're already in and putting on every last drop of gasoline available and making a huge explosion. That's what I'm getting at.
You know, back whenever our Constitution was ratified, there was very little to know of this nonsense called statute or case law. And since that point, administration after administration, they've continued to just pour it on and pour it on and pour it on, and they've never sought the will of the people having mutual assent, which is what our Constitution respects. Because we all are supposed to be equal in the eyes of the law and equal protection under the law. Well, if they can create laws that show privilege to certain groups or deny you your right to have your mutual assent in those rules, laws, processes, and procedures, then they've already violated the Constitution.
Right. But see, there's the key right there. There's the key. When you said mutual consent. We have mutual consent, which is like we vote on something, and the majority is the mutual consent. It's the only way
we
really get a mutual consent.
It's not mutual consent. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. Two wolves in a
I didn't say we were a democracy, but we are. I know we're a constitutional republic, but we also have democratic ways, and that's been since the beginning. Okay,
but that's why that democratic way that you're alluding to is only in Congress, because in 1787, whenever the United States Constitution was ratified, they didn't have the communications medium that we have today. You had to contact your congressman, or your congressman had to get in touch with the constituents by either pony, you know, horse and buggy, or maybe if they were lucky, teletype, if they, you know, Morse code or what else. So the process of making sure that the congressmen and senators and the president and all were respecting the self-governing rights of the constituents was a long, drawn-out process,
right?
Because, you
okay,
know, the Pony Express was about the fastest they could do. But today...
But how... Wait. I'm going to back you up just for 2 seconds. How did those people become congressmen? How did those people become president?
The same way we pick anybody else for, you know, lawyer or whatnot. They get our vote, and we...
Okay, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. They had a vote, and the majority of the vote won, correct?
You're saying once they get elected...
I'm just asking you a simple question. The majority of the vote is how they became... Stop. You're saying too many words. You're saying too many words. The majority vote made them, or got them their position, correct? Yes? You agree?
You're talking about for a person that gets elected.
Yes. Is that correct?
But that's not what we were talking about. Now,
no,
like
yes, in a way, yes. Let me tell you, that is democratic. That is the democratic portion of our country. The majority vote put them into position. Whereas, again, if we're a majority consent, the best way to get the majority consent is through a vote. Correct? And you said we're not a democracy. I said I understand we're not a democracy, but we have democratic ways instilled under our Constitution to get to that majority consent. So with that majority consent, yes, there's going to be people that don't agree with it, but the majority is consenting to.
No, you keep using this word majority and the democratic, like we're a democracy process. The reason why we have the majority vote is one person's going to win that position of office. But once they get into office, they don't get to be Hitler and dictate all the policies.
Exactly. I concur. I said, but what's the best way to get a majority consent? It's through a vote.
It's not a majority consent.
How would that not be a majority consent? If the majority is saying, yes, this is what we want, that's a majority consent.
So you're saying the minority has no protection? And that's the exact reason the Declaration of Independence was existing, is to protect the minority from the crooks of the masses.
You're missing my point. So basically, if the minority wants to take our guns away, or the minority wants to limit, I shouldn't say take them away, but extremely limit, which they have been doing, the ability to own and or acquire or use a weapon, a gun, that's okay, because they're a minority and we need to listen to them. No, it's not. The majority wants our Second Amendment right. We want, the ability to carry whenever and wherever we want. Okay? That's the majority.
And
so
the point
when...
don't believe in the Constitution?
But you were just saying that the minority is... that their rights can be infringed. Yeah, you know what? If your rights infringe on my right, or your belief of your rights infringe on my rights, absolutely. What I know my rights are by the Constitution, absolutely. Your rights are gone on that point. I'm sorry, you have no rights.
Yeah, we all have equitable rights in governing, because the governing of me is my self. Private property, the governing of you is your private property. When the two intersect and cross, we become joint owners in government. That's called unity of title, unity of interest, unity of possession. That's why we're supposed to be the United States of America, because we are joint owners in unity of this property called governing. You own this governing of you. That's your private property. I own the government.
But you are looking for a utopia that'll never exist.
No. I'm not looking at utopia. I'm looking at the fact of honoring the true integrity of our Declaration of Independence and Constitution. The Declaration of Independence wasn't fought. Just the majority of the people get to have freedom and independence and liberty, and the minority get run roughshod over. And the Constitution doesn't uphold that either. Otherwise, you would not have the clause that I keep saying 1,400 times on all these shows. There's no title of nobility. Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, no title of nobility. That means there's no rank and file. There's no chain of command in governing. We are all equitable, self-governing, free people. We all get to decide our own burdens and encumbrances. That's the same way. Article 4, Section 2, citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. So there's no any person more important or able to decide for somebody else other than the person themselves. And it goes on the same in our Bill of Rights and our due process rights, but we're not upholding those things. If we just follow through with
those things, we could do it.